Mark Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
This week, alongside the surprise release of Apex Legends, the Nintendo Switch sees a surprise in Keen Dreams. Billy Blaze gets a second release on a system that can be played on the go. This is just one trip down memory lane. Stay tuned for all the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 763 for this February the 10th of 2019. I am Rob Roberts. He is Techmaster Loki joining me in studio.
I am here, and I am the butt of the joke.
Oh, well, yes. So it doesn't go on the podcast, but the little, when we go live in Twitch, we do this little, like, inspired by you can't do that on television thing. So, like, we've had a couple, like, it was, like, so-and-so is not going to be seen tonight. If you ever watched You Can't Do That on Television back in the day, they used to do that. So we've had all sorts of, like, little, like, tongue-in-cheek gaming inventory things. Like, Mavis Beacon Teaches Murder was one of them. Marie Kondo Organizes My Warcraft Inventory. That was another one we did. So tonight was Broccoli Farming Simulator 19, because I was kind of busy this weekend, so I kind of had to, like, pick something fast. So I was like, all right, I'm doing the obvious joke tonight. I'm going to burn my obvious one, so I can think of a better one for next time. So I was trying to rack my brain thinking, like, of a Valentine's one, but I was busy. I didn't have time. So, but I'm glad you enjoyed that, Loki. Sure. It's just all the reason to be here live because, of course, if you are listening on the podcast feed, we love you. We appreciate you being here because we've been an audio podcast for years and years and years, way too long, longer than I care to admit. But we love all the guys that listen to us on the podcast feed. But if you want to join us live, you can over on our Twitch network. It's twitch.tv/VOG Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And, yeah, here we are live again with another episode. Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Sadly, again, not with us tonight. She is still out on a work commitment, but we will hear from her later in the show during the Classic Game of the Week segment. But for now, how are you, Loki? Everything going well with you?
I'm fine. I shoved a bunch of breadsticks in my mouth, so, you know.
Yeah, yes, powered by carbs.
Yes,
tonight's episode.
That was all of the food I've eaten today, so all at one go.
Some people don't realize that we've definitely had to, like, change some things with this whole move to Twitch, because one of them was that we would just kind of casually eat during the show, and now it's like, oh, shoot, we're going to be live. We don't want to be sitting here eating on cam while the show's
trying to go. Oh, I wouldn't mind doing that. It's just, you know, the pizza box gets in the way of the screen, so, you know.
Well, and still, sometimes during the Bobby call, you can still catch Loki finishing up something live. Yeah, it just depends on what's going on. So I saw you were streaming this week. I know you'll probably talk a little bit about it during your gaming week, but yeah. I saw you were finally doing some, like, non-DDR stuff.
Yes.
Which, I mean, DDR's cool and all. Don't get me wrong. That's, you know,
I also did DDR stuff, too. So, yeah.
Okay. But I caught you doing a Skyrim stream. So the thing, you were kind of teasing it on the last show.
Yes.
Is that you were going to do, like, a...
Because my wife was out of the house for a few days, and so I was able to actually sit down and do that. I didn't get to do it the first day because I think I had to actually set up everything. It wasn't ready yet, and also kids needed things, and it just wasn't working out. I was exhausted. So I ended up, though, getting a good portion of time to do it. And, of course, you know, in typical fashion, I didn't test anything going into it at all. And so it started off horribly, which is great. And entertaining.
Testing is good. Yeah, I was there at the very beginning, and I was like, he could have figured out that the intro wouldn't work with some of his
it
mods.
It should have.
It's fine.
There was no reason that the horses didn't know where to go. It's just... I think it was the weird horse mod thing that, like, you'd see, like, the guard's horses jet off into the mountains, and, you know, it was downhill from there.
But one of the mods I saw, and I know here we are talking about Skyrim mods, like, hello, it's like 2012 all over again. But some things are forever funny, like you had that Thomas the Tank engine that replaced the dragon at the very beginning. So it was really funny. Instead of the big roar, you'd hear this, doot, doot. it cracked me up. I loved it. So
there's a lot of weird things there. Ended up being two followers I had, so Gary the Goat and Dave the Dragon. And at one point, somehow, because I kept playing with this one spell that was an orbital cannon, and so I aggroed Dave at one point, and so he tried to, you know, kill me, so I had to kill him in order for him to, you know, calm down. And then later in the stream, which not a lot of people got to see, but later in the stream, there was a thing that had to do with falling barrels from the sky that all screamed that ended up going over well because it was incredibly loud. And then My Little Pony stuff, because just for the hell of it.
Now, you do archive all your video, right? So people could go back and watch it.
Yes.
Because for whatever reason, Twitch doesn't enable that by default. You have to like tell it to save your videos so you can watch it after.
I'm pretty sure I do. And if I don't, I archive my stuff on my local PC. Okay. So
good. That's smart. That's smart. Yeah. And I guess I should plug here something extra we've been doing ever since we moved over to Twitch is that, you know, we do broadcast the video live on Sunday nights and you can be here and watch along with it. But if you can't be here on Sunday night and you still really want video, the audio podcast that we've been doing for years and years for free is just not enough for you. You want to see the video on demand. All you have to do is subscribe to the VOG Network Twitch channel, which many of you with Amazon Prime, you get a free sub a month anyway. So you just use that to subscribe at the lowest level. You don't have to do anything but the lowest level. You get access to the video archive, and not just us, but Bobby Blackwolf and any special things we do.
And SSJ100 Matt says the Macho Man Dragon mod is still the best. And that was the tough part. It's like, you can only really choose one dragon mod. Like, if it were up to me, I would put the Macho Man Dragon mod and the Skyrim Thomas mod and the My Little Pony mod and whatever other stupid dragon mods they have, but you can only pick one. And so instead, for the Macho Man part, which, unfortunately, there's two chicken mods I had, so they kind of combined together. So I had one mod that made chickens look like tiny little like strongman guys with chicken heads, and they would make Macho Man Randy Savage comments. And then I made one that apparently made chickens the size of like they're just huge. So what we got instead now in there is giant chickens that occasionally when you walk up to them will make like Macho Man Randy Savage comments. So it's something. Oh, and they explode, because of course they do.
All right. We're going to get into our kickoff topic for the night, which I'll have you do, Logi. But first off, I want to read this comment because, of course, again, we're taping live on Twitch and we read some comments from our chat. Big Red Pimp says the video stream is not enough. I'm not sure what else we can give you until they invent the holodeck. I'm not sure what else we can give you short of you actually sitting here in the studio.
Virtual reality and stream.
To be fair, many of our listeners have come to the studio and sat in on the show. I feel like years ago you might have done that, actually, Big Red Pimp. I know your wife did early on, way back in the
day. Get the VR camera set up like they use for those like VR porn videos, and then that way we can get uncomfortably close to people and tell them the news. So we'd be like, hey, guess what? So like there's like some Nintendo stuff going on.
You guys, I played Apex Legends this week, and it's really rad.
There you go. Yeah, see, like that. Just get uncomfortable, you know, like practically sitting in their lap.
God, every imperfection I just put on full blast on Twitch.
It
anyway.
Was perfect.
Whatever. Thank God for decent lighting. All right, anyway, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight. Speaking of Nintendo and stuff that Nintendo's doing.
So Nintendo, they've, of course, you know, been very reluctant to sunset the 3DS. But apparently that might be changing. The 3DS market has contracted faster than we anticipated. So apparently, you know, they had thought that this was going to go on for a lot longer. But they said that continuing right now, they are still continuing to bring out new content for the 3DS. But during the recent financial briefing, basically saying the owners of that many of the 3DS owners are buying it as their first game systems, and basically the nice price point. And then there's still room to improve with the Switch market as well. Also that they are still trying to push people to buy multiple Switch units per household. Although, honestly, I don't think that's really going to happen until you get the price of the system down, because
I don't know. The house I was visiting this weekend had at least two, I think maybe three, and then I brought mine. So, I don't know.
1% problems, I guess.
Shut up. I was going to say, it probably just depends on the house. It depends on the house and, like, how – I mean, to be fair, this is a house full of gamers, so, I mean, it makes sense, but
– yeah, so basically that, you know, they're saying that – you know, 2018 isn't the last year that we're going to see the 3DS. It's still going to be going strong this year. They're going to keep bringing out new content to try to keep it, as they put, vibrant and going well into next year. And I don't know. So we'll kind of see. Maybe I think it's probably a couple years away from being dead, but, you know, it's just all the about what they put out on the Switch and getting people to buy stuff. Because I think, honestly, with the 3DS, like, because I just bought my kids a 2DS, which is basically a 3DS. And, like, I just can't imagine buying multiple copies of Switch games. Like, that's expensive as it is, like, on the 3DS, let alone, you know, $60 games. No. No, thank you.
Well, digital distribution, too. There's a lot of people that aren't just buying the $60 games, but maybe buying, like, Overcooked for, like, $20, you know, and things like that.
But there's not a lot of games that we're having multiple Switch systems is really a benefit aside from...
I get it. It depends on the household. If you have a lot of people that are more likely to be out and on the go separately, and maybe they take transit a lot or something, so they want to have something to play, like, it makes more sense in those situations. But you're right. It's probably... I'm talking about a situation that probably applies to far less households than the other situation. But what I think is going on... And, you know, I'm not a 3DS hater by any means. I love the 3DS as a system. There's been so many great games on it. But, you know, at some point, a couple years ago, Nintendo kind of already walked away from the 3D part of it. And it was just, hey, here's our... Because they started... And they did it
here's
themselves.
Another new DS. Yeah.
The Pokemon games barely support 3D. There's like it's an afterthought in like one mode. And they really started doing this 2DS and pushing that whole thing, which is fine because Nintendo really had the portable market covered. I mean, they killed their only competition, the Vita. You know, congrats, Nintendo. I mean, they had that market cornered. But by the time they brought out the Switch, I was kind of like, okay, 3DS, you can go now. Bye, because we have a portable system that is capable. I mean, yes, you can put it on the dock and have it on the TV too. But as we all know, the whole thing is that you can pick it up and take it portable. And it's a more powerful device. So I'm kind of like, all right, you can stop putting games there. Put it on the more powerful one on the Switch. And I've been saying that on the show for a long time. But, you know, something that you guys have been saying, and sometimes you guys here in studio, is that, well, Nintendo probably had the 3DS around kind of for insurance purposes. Because the Wii U didn't do so hot, right?
Yeah.
All things considered. So the Switch, they didn't know if it was going to be successful, right? Because you don't know until it's out there. You don't know how something's going to do. So maybe Nintendo in some ways kind of but it's weird. I say they under-predicted the success of the Switch, but I swear, didn't we have a story just last week where Nintendo then had to like shift down their projections by like 1 million or something? So I almost feel like they under-predicted, then they over-predicted. Now they got to go back to this. It's like this constant need to correct something. I don't know. They're not forecasting very well, but whatever. But anyway, my point
is... Maybe that explains all the shortages because they can't forecast their numbers correctly.
Maybe. But anyway, my point is that, you know, the Switch has been successful, whether it, you know, met the even more targets that Nintendo was setting, whatever. But the Switch has been successful enough where I think it's kind of killing the 3DS because there's a lot of people that are probably approaching it the way I'm approaching it, where it's like, my bag is not big enough to take the Switch and the 3DS, and that's a lot to get stolen. So I'm just going to take the Switch, and, you know, there's nothing right now on the 3DS anyway that I want to play that I didn't already play 3 or 4 years ago.
There's a lot of games, though, too, even on, like, aside from maybe, like, Pokemon stuff, but there's a lot of games that have come out on...
Well, when that Pokemon game comes out on Switch, I mean, take the DS out back and shoot it. It's dead. Luigi's Mansion, whoopee-doo. I mean, I know there's fans of that series, but it's not enough to keep the DS alive. I would say the last real hurrah of that system, and I'm pointing this way for those on Twitch because my DS is in the other room over here. It's just like forever alone on the living room table. But the Metroid game they did, the reinvention of Metroid 2, is probably the last great shout.
Which really, they should just port that stuff over to, you know...
Agreed. I'm not going to
switch.
Yeah.
And maybe that will happen once they finally sunset the 3DS, and then they'll bring over all that old stuff, do like a 2D Metroid collection or something like
that. Well, and I wonder, and you know, later in the show, we're going to get into some more, you know, Nintendo rumors and things, but there are rumors about potentially new 2D games and other franchises as well. And I wonder, actually, Loki, I wonder if they are things that maybe were being planned for the 3DS. And now Nintendo is going, maybe. Even though the 3DS has a larger install base overall, maybe the reality is the software is all moving on the Switch right now, so we should probably, you know, aim this game over there instead.
Maybe. Yeah. And then, of course, they also talk a little bit about Nintendo Online. So
actually, wait, real quick, I want to get some comments because these are some good comments over at VOG Network. Our VOG Network.com is the website, and it'll take you right to Twitch TV/VOG Network. where Bobby Blackwolf says they even stopped making P-Cross games for the 3DS and now they're on the Switch. I really preferred that game with the stylus. Well, you know, if they really wanted to, they could still make it work with touch controls because the Switch is a touchscreen. So that is, I mean, I realize not every Switch has a stylus, so you'd have to use your finger, which isn't very accurate, and it, you know, makes your...
Well, you can still get a stylus. They could make a stylus that would work with it.
But they are making a choice that not enough people are going to do this to make it worth the development time. Because I think those P-Cross games are kind of meant to be...
To develop a stylus that's already out on the market?
No. I mean, develop the control scheme in the P-Cross game.
Oh, fine.
Because you have to kind of reapproach it for the stylus or whatever.
Right, because they have to have it for the TV mode, too. And so that's the problem is you have to support both modes.
Right. And I think those games are kind of meant to be... I doubt there's a very large team making those P-Cross games. They're probably meant to be low effort, low risk, medium reward.
Wasn't P-Cross out on the Game Boy originally? I mean,
series been around forever.
We just adapt those same controls? Are we too spoiled now with our touch screens and stuff that we can't pause? What directional pad?
That's what they did. He's saying it's a preference to use the touch thing on the 3DS, which I admit was kind of handy because, Loki, they're all based off of, think Sudoku, right? It really boils down to like a pen and paper game. You know those like books you used to be able to buy at the grocery store? You probably still can.
You can
with
still
the logic
buy them, yeah.
Puzzle and stuff. That's where those P-Cross things come from, are like those types of books, but I think Japan. So it started as like a pen and pencil type thing. So that's why it's like, oh, a stylus feels natural for these games because originally that's really literally what it was pen to play these things. That's what it is.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, other comments in chat at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, it's a hassle to take the Switch on the train to work. I have, but I get unnecessary attention because of it. That's probably a good point, too, is that you don't always want to take a very expensive little device on these public transit things because you get a lot of people that are kind of looking over going, what's that? Who's that? You know, maybe they haven't seen one before because they just don't follow tech as closely, or they're not really gamers outside of, you know, possibly like, you know, earlier systems or touch phone games.
Yeah.
So those things always kind of attract attention.
So then also they made a comment as well about the Switch Online service, which they said, of course, you know, they've had 8 million accounts signed up, but they're finding that the trends right now is that it's actually that people are picking very short enrollment periods, so they're signing up for maybe like a month at a time and then not continuing to keep up with the service, which I guess that makes sense a little bit because let's be honest that, you know, the NES games that they offer there, that's not really all that great, and the online portion of it is not all that great. I think honestly, like, I have used the online for that last time we played Mario Kart 8 was probably the only time I've used Nintendo Online for that. And in the NES games, I mean, I don't really play them. If I'm going to play NES games, I can just fire up my modded, you know, SNES Classic or something like that and play them with a nice original controller. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been playing the NES library a little bit here and there. I am more fascinated by the downloading the Japanese versions and looking at those because that's really the first time I've looked at many of those. Like I did a live stream about a month or so ago when Metroid first came out because, you know, playing Metroid on the Japanese Nintendo Online, you get the Famicom Disk System version. So you see things you haven't seen before, like the save screen, because Metroid has, like in the original Legend of Zelda, a save screen. So Metroid has that in the FDS version. You've just never seen it really in America. So there's that. And then the sound chip differences, very subtle. But we kind of, you know, I did a little playthrough on stream. And it's not like going to change your life. But it is kind of neat to go back and play it and go, huh, that's interesting. Like these very like subtle differences. And I think Zelda and Zelda 2 might have some very minor differences as well. Because they were originally disk system games as well. And I'm waiting for Kid Icarus because I think that's another one that was originally a disk system game. So, there's a lot of those early NES games because they hadn't quite developed the battery thing yet.
Yeah.
They used those password things instead to get them to work. But anyway, I'm deviating a little bit. The online system, I just watched somebody play Splatoon 2 over the weekend, so I know that's still going.
And, of course, along with that, you know, since they do recognize that, you know, they said a growing percentage of subscribers are going for shorter one-month memberships, that they're going to, you know, try to make it more worthwhile, basically. Currently, we're planning on ways to boost the appeal of the service on a yearly basis, and we'll announce more details as soon as they are ready. So, yeah.
Maybe the Super Nintendo always rumored data mined in the...
Is that really going to be enough? I mean, like, how... I don't know. It's just... It seems like we need more.
I think they need to, like, either ditch that app or make it a lot better. They need to make, like, just ditch that app because the voice chat thing is ridiculous. I don't know anybody that's using it. Or they just need to try to, like, make it better, like, maybe where you can, like, and I thought this was supposed to be a thing of it. Maybe it's even there and I just don't even realize it. But, like, schedule gaming sessions with friends or interact more with Facebook and Twitter to see, like, what friends are playing and instantly be able to join their games and things of that sort. I don't know. I feel like there's just other things they could do with that app.
I don't know.
Achievements and leaderboards. But, you know, last week we talked a little bit about Xbox Live is now kind of creeping in there a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft maybe pushes something.
I think patching in achievements would be pretty cool.
Yeah, but again, and I've said this last week, I think it's important to say, before you get too carried away with this whole Xbox Live on Nintendo thing, don't expect Nintendo to implement it in their own games. That's not what Xbox Live on Switch is going to do. It's not going to work with Mario and Zelda. I mean, that would be a monumental deal if that happens. I really don't think it's going to. It's more for the indie things, the Minecrafts of the world, obviously, and then other indie developers that want to enable that sort of thing on their indie games. But you're not going to see it in Mario, Zelda, Metroid. Ain't happening. Nintendo is going to try to convince you, whether it's true or not, that their system is better. And that's what they're tasked with and facing their investors with, is even the investors are kind of calling them out that, like, your online system isn't what the others are offering. Like, step it up. Basically what I'm hearing in this question.
Yeah.
All right. Going to our Twitch chat. Bobby says, well, I mean, what more do you want? Like, define more. Playing games online isn't enough, and Netflix with online play isn't enough. Fair question. I think you'd have to look at what some of the competition is doing. Where has the bar been set with things like PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold? Where has the bar been set that Nintendo, even though they're coming into this game later, where are they not meeting the bar? Not really doing it with discounts. I know they have their whole coins thing, but is that really a part of the online? I don't think you have to pay to be in the coins
thing. No.
So that's not really a part of it. So they're not really doing discounts in that regard.
But that is nice.
It's nice. Yeah, sure. The coins thing is nice. I don't know. I kind of think it's an after. It doesn't really save you that much money. I mean, it's like
10%, or
you have to get a lot of coins for that. You don't get that much. It depends if you buy it digitally.
No, it's 10%. Whatever you buy, you get 10% back in coins.
If you buy it digitally, I don't think you get as much if you buy it.
Oh, I don't know.
Physically.
I buy most things digitally. Yeah. So,
but anyway, whatever. But anyway, but I would say it's a lot of the voice chat is what it's really coming down to. And the fact that, you know, in the PlayStation environment, you can hop on there with, you know, party and join friends. And now look at some of the other stuff that PlayStation's been offering. Share play, the ability to stream. Streaming isn't really a plus feature, right? Streaming is inherently a thing. But the share play or private streaming, that's a huge deal, I think, and that's something that you get with the Plus. Being able to form the parties kind of natively in the system and have that party chat no matter what game you're in. Like, having to use a secondary app for that that's very hit and miss, I don't think it's connecting with people, and that's one big problem I think Nintendo's having and where it's feeling like they're really playing catch-up. I think that app is holding them back because the app just doesn't do enough. And
it was a dumb idea. I don't even know what the thought process.
Everybody's doing an app.
No, not everybody's doing an app. Sony doesn't have an app that I need to use for voice chat. Microsoft doesn't have an app that I need to use for voice chat.
Now, ActDeft takes a little deeper dive in our chat about what's wrong with Nintendo's online, saying, what I want for Nintendo Online is better servers, not a peer-to-peer service. I shouldn't be paying for peer-to-peer. Now, there's a more direct shot on what Nintendo is, you know, not giving that the other ones are giving us. And I know ActDeft's been having a lot of problems with Nintendo Online, so not too surprised to see him very vocal about that in our chat room. Let's see. Sia Tabiri suggests, how about extended demos? Miltonius Games, or excuse me, Miltonius Games, I can't see if that's two eyes or not, says maybe like an EA Access style trial for games. More types of streaming things, but I don't know what is the Switch necessarily capable of. These may be things that Nintendo is challenged to think about with Switch Plus or whatever they're going to do, new Switch, Switch 2, whatever inevitable, like, not successor, but like upgrade they end up selling to the Switch happens to be. I think these are things they might have to think about. Is this console beefy enough to do more of this competitive online stuff? And I think that's where you're going to start to see Nintendo Online kind of start to have to develop and offer more. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Anyway. All right. I think that's enough on Nintendo for now. We have some other stories later on in the show that deal with Nintendo things. So let's get into our gaming weeks and talks about the video games that we have been playing this week, Nintendo or not. Loki, how was your gaming week?
Well, I didn't play a whole ton of things. I played Skyrim a little bit on stream, and I played Dance Dance Revolution a little bit on stream, so I did some more of the edit double stuff there. I switched down the one camera because my other camera is for my Skyrim setup, so I had to move it, and I didn't feel like moving it back and forth, and we really don't need two cameras, so whatevs. And then what else? So I did a little bit of Pokemon Go. Still haven't played any Kingdom Hearts yet because I just didn't bother to do it. I don't know. I could have played it when my wife was gone, but meh. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to this week. Crackdown 3 finally coming out.
Oh, yeah. That's
so I'll have to pick that up once I get paid. But yeah, it's going to that'll play on PC. That's going to be awesome. I'm not looking. I watched some video of like the online mode and I could do without that. That's fine. But
you at least going to try it?
I don't know. Maybe. It doesn't really matter to me. But the destruction part of it, like, oh, it's like fully destructive and stuff like that. And that we need the cloud to, like, drive this stuff. Dude, I got to be honest. Like, you see more destruction in, like, the Battlefield games than you do in this thing. It's kind of a waste of the tech, if you ask me. But we'll give it a try. I'll wait and see what it looks like. But at the very least, you know, the single-player game is going to be awesome, so I'm down with that.
All right.
And then, I think that was it.
All right. Well, I played a few games this week. I had to make some notes. That's why I'm playing with my phone over here, because I actually made some notes about things I played this week. So I played a little more Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't have a lot more to say that I didn't say last week, but I'm enjoying my time with the game. I'm taking it nice and slow. I know this is the point now where, like, a lot of the more, like, fans and people that were really anxiously awaiting Kingdom Hearts 3, like, more and more people are beating it. So I'm just trying to, you know, just take it at my own pace, because what it's going to be 13 years before there's another one. So you know what? I'm going to take it at my speed. So
yeah.
And that's because I also tend to play things like World of Warcraft quite a bit and in between. Just been playing more WoW lately. It's kind of been my MMO lately. Final Fantasy 14 has been kind of on the back burner a little bit, just because you're kind of getting towards end of expansion right now in 14. And so I feel like there's not as much to do. I mean, there will be a new story patch before the next expansion officially, so I'll get excited about it again then. But for right now, I've just been kind of filling the void because I haven't been playing World of Warcraft for years regularly, really. So I got another character up to 120. I hit max level on my shaman, Resto, is mostly what I'm playing there. So I have a healer now. So that's three. That's actually three characters I have at 120. I have a Horde Resto Druid, and then Alliance Resto Shaman, and Alliance Goblin Warlock. So I'm playing a lot of WoW. But it's fun. I don't even really do the raiding or anything like that. I do the world quests. You can do a lot of upgrading through world quests and doing those events, and it's nice. I just take things at my own pace. Okay, I also played some more Pokemon Let's Go this week. I know that game came out a while ago, but because of the Pokemon Go event where they're like, hey, don't you want to get Meltan more frequently out of boxes? And I'm like, I still have not gotten to the point in Pokemon Let's Go where you can start, because it's a ways into the game. Like, you have to get past at least four gym leaders, which, you know, that's over half the gym leaders in the game before you can do that. So finally, mm-hmm. I had some time on Friday while I was at a friend's, and they were doing a board game thing that I wasn't in. So I had some time to play Switch, and I got caught up to that point in the game in Let's Go. So I finally gave myself a freaking Meltan box in Pokemon Go, and I got a shiny Meltan, my very last Pokemon and my first box was shiny. So I was happy about that.
Yeah, I'll have to try that. Yeah. I haven't gotten a shiny one yet, but...
Well,
yeah.
Go's doing a special event just for a couple weeks, I think, where you have a chance at a shiny one.
I've got, you know, the big evolved one, though. But I need, like, one also for Pokemon Let's Go as well, so... I don't know.
Interesting take from DJ Rama S in our chat on why people are moving fast through Kingdom Hearts. The only reason why I've seen so many people power through Kingdom Hearts 3 is because most of those people are cosplayers, and they're trying to get their cosplays done for KatsuCon this weekend. That's a good point. Thank you, DJ Rama S. Didn't think about that. Act Deft reminding me I need to get a couple more shinies if I want a shiny Meltan and Melmetal in Let's Go.
There's a shiny Dratini on your house.
You just got a shiny Dratini. No, the shinies are per person. They're not, like, if I tap it, always. So you just got a shiny just now?
Yeah.
Good for you. Look at that. Show them on the Twitch feed. There you go.
I already have one of these,
though. Oh, my God. All right. I know Dratini's not as exciting because they already had a community day. So, well, lucky you. Get one of those little piggies. Shiny. That's supposed to be the thing going on.
Oh.
That might finally be over.
I've gotten so many of those.
I've been following
still going. The Chinese New Year thing.
Yeah. Our chat is like lighting up. Act is like, damn, Loki, that's lucky. And Bobby's like, it's just a shiny. LOL. Like, you just don't even care.
I don't know. Like, I don't really care about the Chinese.
Suddenly a wild Shane approaches, is like, I'll take that shiny from you. All right. Questbuster. Loki gets a shiny. Oh, okay. All right. Other things I played this week. I played Overcooked 2. Have you played those games, the Overcooked games?
No.
So I was at a buddy's house, and they have it. And so we were playing, like, four-player Overcooked. And it was a little harder for me because they all kind of knew the game, and I didn't know it so well. So, I mean, the game definitely has a learning curve. And we were trying to do some of the, like, I guess they have, like, special event levels. So they had, like, Lunar New Year levels. And I felt like I was getting in the way. So if you haven't played Overcooked, it's like you have to – go get the ingredient to make the dish. Like, somebody might order a hamburger, but they want their, or somebody wants a chicken sandwich and this person wants a hamburger. So you might have to do, like, bun, tomato, burger. And then for another, you have to do bun, tomato, chicken or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to do different ingredients. So you have to go, like, get the ingredient, and sometimes you have to fry it in a pan, or you have to boil rice or whatever the ingredient is. And then you have to put them on a plate in a certain order and then serve it. Well, it gets really hysterical when there's, like, four people all running over each other because they can't – you can't walk on top of each other, so you're all getting each other's way. And then you have certain stages where, like, the conveyor belts start moving, or you're in a hot air balloon where you just get blown out of the balloon and, like, stuff like that. So it's just, like – it's just –
I've seen the one with trains or whatever. Like, it's two moving trains or something.
Okay, so you've seen some footage from the game. Yeah, okay. So that was a little bit that I played, but I was, like – I am just getting in the way because they're very fast at it. They're just able to, like, oh, pick up the fish, chop the fish, boil the fish, you know, whatever they do. They were doing it all fast. And I'm just like, I would go to the corner and wash dishes. So when the dishes came back, I'd wash it and then put it in another stack. So that was one less thing everybody else had to worry about. It's like I found my little role.
There you go.
And I guess Overcooked kind of works that way. Everybody kind of finds their different ways in the assembly line, but it always gets screwed up somehow because there'll be an order that you didn't account for in your assembly line, or something gets screwed up, or there's a fire, and so it all, it all gets screwed up. So, anyway, that was a little Overcooked that I played this week, and I also played some board games. I should give shout out to board games here on the show because I don't talk enough about them. But of course, I like board games. I mean, I talk a lot about video games. I don't get to play board games a lot. Alan and I have a few, but we don't really just play, like, the two of us board games. And it's very rare that I get invited to, like, board game stuff, but. I went to this, like, LGBTQ plus board game day in San Francisco, and I had a good time. We played Code Names, I think was the name of the game. It was a word guessing game, and it was I liked that a lot. And then we played one called Pandemic that I think is pretty popular. Mm-hmm. A lot of board gamers probably know that game. I never played it before, but that was a lot of fun because, there's more and more board games where, like, I remember – board games, as I always kind of knew them, were always like one person wins. It's like, you know, Monopoly, one winner, Clue, one winner, right?
Yeah.
But now there's more and more games where it's like it's you against the game, and that's something like Pandemic. It's all the players against the game. So it's kind of neat, and the different ways you draw cards will affect what happens in the game. And I've played other, like, deck building games like that. Like, there was, like, a DC Heroes game and Sentinels the Multiverse, was that the
I
name
played
of it?
One I'm, that was
sorry,
with
I'm not as on the board game things
with
but,
Cthulhu. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but there was one where it's everybody against Cthulhu, so, and Cthulhu won. you know, as he normally does.
Yeah. So I had a board game day, so that was fun. And then the other video game I played this week was Apex Legends, because there's a lot of people going crazy about this game. All of a sudden, we'll get into it a little later in the show, but I mean, we talked about it last week, and we're kind of like, eh, we'll see what happens, and all of a sudden, like, it blows up, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I got to see what all this fuss is about, right? I tried Fortnite, so I got to try Apex Legends. Sadly, I did not, like, there is a tutorial, but that's, like, it's very short, and there's not a lot to it. And there's no, like, PvE, or there's no practice, or there's no – you have to jump in there and do a squad of three people and do it. So I've been a little scared to go past the tutorial. I will get past the tutorial later, but that's really all I've done is beat the tutorial. Hey, which is more than some people playing Cuphead, all right? But obviously, I didn't have
there's
a lot of –
there's a tutorial in Cuphead?
There is. Remember, there's, like, an infamous
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
That's such a brief part of the game.
Yeah. So, anyway, I've played that, but that's sadly about as far as I've gotten. But I do – I just had a busy weekend. I didn't get to play more. And that game just came out on, like, what, Monday or Tuesday?
It was Monday, yeah.
Really taken off since then. But we'll get into that a little later in the show. But I did at least download it and check it out. It's a nice-looking game. I'll give it that. But I'll expand on my thoughts, I guess, a little bit later when we get into more on Apex Legends. So – all right, I guess we will get into some gaming news. I don't have a lot of housekeeping, but I will say, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/OLR. And, of course, we're also on Facebook at Orange Lounge Radio. But the best place to follow us is right here on Twitch at VOG Network. And we appreciate all the follows and appreciate the subscriptions and the biddies that people have been showing as well. We really appreciate all of that. Thank you so much for helping this move to Twitch. For VOG Network be really successful so far. We've been having a good time on Twitch and hopefully getting our show out to more people. A lot of fun. So, all right, let's get into some other gaming news. Loki.
All right. So, unfortunately, there are rumors that there's going to be massive layoffs at Activision Blizzard, according to some rumblings from the employees of the publisher. This is supposedly going to go down on Tuesday, and it's supposed to take place right before the quarterly earnings call that they're going to have. It's expected, according to reports from Bloomberg, that the layoffs are going to be numbering in the hundreds. And, of course, Activision hasn't really confirmed that this is going to happen or not, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. The thought is that it's supposed to be for, like, cost-cutting, because now, I don't know, with, like, some of these games, like Call of Duty and stuff, even though Black Ops 4 was, like, one of the more successful games of 2018, it failed to meet expectations. This is what they do all the time. So you have a game that comes out, they set the expectations way too high because, you know, they're trying to beat the numbers for the previous year. Which,
and a big studio probably spent a lot of money developing it, to be fair.
Well, they have like four or five like studios developing Call of Duty games, so whatever.
Paying all that overtime pay for crunch time because they didn't plan appropriately.
But still, so you're going to have this game come out. It's going to not meet expectations ever. And then they're going to cut employees to bring down the cost of the studio so that, you know, shareholders will be happy and so Bobby Kotick can make his millions of dollars. So we'll have to see what happens. But unfortunately, you know, now also being that Destiny is going to be part, you know, Bungie's kind of parting ways with Destiny. I don't know. It's not a great sign. So, we may hear of quite a few layoffs in the next day or so.
Well, I mean, I hope it's not true, but I think, unfortunately, this type of news is inevitable in the industry. I think a lot of people, you know, I follow a lot of people on Twitter that are very loyal for Blizzard products because, you know, I had the Warcraft podcast a long time ago. Rest in peace, Horde House. You know, I followed a lot of people in the Blizzard community back in those days, so a lot of people are very curious how this may affect Blizzard. You know, Blizzard's had a lot of changes. They scaled back on Heroes of the Storm, which is very controversial. Yeah. We all know what happened with Diablo. We don't need to retread that ground. But obviously it did not go, the reveal and the hype did not go the way that was anticipated. Whether they anticipated correctly or not is not the point. It just was not what is anticipated. And so on. So some people, and then, you know, this is Overwatch League. Somebody in chat just mentioned Overwatch League is about to start. you know, in a matter of days. So it's like, what might happen at Blizzard? And that's kind of scary. And obviously, you know, it's a company that a lot of people love and adore because of their games. But Blizzard also makes games in a certain way that doesn't mesh well with the big culture. If you think about it, when was the last time Blizzard put out a game that was not an expansion or an update patch? When was the last time Blizzard put out a new game?
Overwatch. Yeah.
And when was Overwatch? It was a little bit ago. It was a little while ago at this point. It was 2 years ago at this point. So I think their style of development, while it's worked for them in the past, it's not working for a company that's needing to deliver the hits a little faster. And this is where I think some of the Blizzard fans get really agitated with the Activision ownership because they miss the Blizzard from before.
Well,
but
Activision, though, too, like, I just think with these games, I mean, what more can you possibly do to them? That this is the problem we have. Like, you have Call of Duty, which is like one of the best-selling games each year. You're selling that. You're selling the season pass to go along with that. You're selling all of the loot boxes and stuff to go along with that. It's just like, if all of that combined is not enough to make the amount of money that you want to make, where's it going to come from? Because you only have a finite amount of people that are going to buy the game. And I can tell you this much, cutting out the single player campaign, that made at least one less person that bought that game, because that was something I was looking forward to. Instead, you're jumping on a bandwagon with the Battle Royale stuff, which on top of that, you're even selling more loot boxes for, more like cosmetics or whatever. It's just, it's all a money grab. And this is the problem, is it's less now, it seems like, about making a good game. It's more of like, how can we engineer this to make us the most money? And it's becoming so transparent that that's what it is, that people are kind of turned off by it. And I just think that they kind of have to step back and actually make some good games. And I'm not saying on the Blizzard side of the house. I'm talking more of the Activision side of the house, where it's just like, let's just take any of these franchises and just stamp them into the ground until we can get all the money out of it. You know, just Guitar Hero, hello. You know, they destroyed.
The Guitar Hero revival was probably better than the consumers gave it credit for. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just one of those things. Was like, yes, I told you, when they had the Guitar Hero like tour edition and all this stuff that came out like all at once in 1 year, it was just too much. They were milking a cow that was already on its way out the door. But when they did that revival, it's unfortunate in my opinion, because it was better than it was worth. And DJ Hero, which came out in that same era where too much Hero was happening at once, also I think an unfortunate victim of too much, because that game was better than y'all gave it credit for. So many people slept on that game, in my opinion. But maybe not everybody's into the music games like we were.
Well, if you still want to get in on that, I can tell you right now, Goodwill has a ton of those turntables for, like, dirt cheap.
Man, it's unfortunate you can't, like, but it's like my PlayStation 3 is long since, like, not really utilized
anymore.
That's
how you can get all your guitar controllers. Or, hey, you're in the market for a Wii Fit balance board? Because they've got stacks of those. You can get that stuff so dirt cheap. It's funny trying to like see what they think that they're supposed to be, because, of course, you know, the people that work there, they don't know what half that shit coming in is. And so they're like, okay, I'm going to take the turntable. I'm going to put two turntables and the crossfader in the middle. Yeah, that looks about right. We'll sell that for $5.
All right. Well, going out to the chat, because you guys have a lot to say in our chat. Lots of talk on Hearthstone, actually, in chat. Questbuster says Hearthstone saw player declines and killed the tournament scene, and Overwatch growth was flat from their last quarterly report. Well, I mean, what? Overwatch is it. I mean, sure, they add a new character once in a while and a new map, but it's not enough to, like, grow the player base. What is going to make more people, what is going to make new people want to check out Overwatch that isn't already playing
game?
It?
I don't know.
My opinion, single-player mode. Even though I completely understand that it's completely against what Overwatch is about, if you want to bring in new people that aren't already playing it, you want to bring in new people to experience it, I think that the key is to do a single-player mode, because then the people that are always like, I don't want to play a team-based game, I want to do this shit, then they'll be, oh, well, now I'll check it out because it has a single-player story, something I can check out. That's my opinion on how you get Overwatch to game, because who out there in gamer world that is interested in a team-based shooter has not at least like tried Overwatch on one of those free weekends or something at this point? You know, if you haven't bought the game, now that it's down to like $20, then it's very much a financial slash hardware type of decision. You know, I just who's left to buy Overwatch? You know what I mean? That's just my opinion. Let's see. And there was another comment here I wanted to read in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Miltonius Game says, my friend is a hardcore follower of Hearthstone, and even he stopped playing after they nerfed some classic cards. You know, Blizzard has been trying to milk games a long time after they're out, and not so many games get to do that nowadays. You know, Blizzard was... maybe a precedent got set with World of Warcraft, where for years and years and years, they were the dominant MMO and went unchallenged. And in many ways, they still are. I think really WoW is just another one of those things where it's like, it's just, I think, a victim of its own age. People just let it go because they move on to doing other stuff. They don't like a change, or they don't like where the expansion went or something. Or, you know what? The group that they were raiding with just fell apart, because sometimes people grow apart. One person got a new job and then the whole thing fell apart, so they all canceled their WoW accounts.
I wonder how far away we are from like some of these games, because they're trying to find ways to get more money out of them, where maybe not so much now with the loot boxes, or they can still do loot boxes, I guess, but adding a subscription service to it instead, like kind of going the World of Warcraft model where, like, hey, we're in charge, you know, $12 a month for Overwatch.
You know what WoW needs to do, in my opinion, if Warcraft wants to, again, grow beyond what you already have. Grow beyond the people that have played. The trying to catch up in WoW can feel very overwhelming at this point, because there's so much and so many expansion things. I think, for one, they need to sell World of Warcraft for $20. That's just everything. Stop trying to piecemeal original game. This, I know they group some expansions together, but you know what? They need to just do the whole kit and caboodle for $20 and then make their money off the monthly fees or whatever. That's what they need to do with World of Warcraft. And honestly, I think it should be free to play up far past where it is now. I think the entirety of at least vanilla WoW ought to be free to play, at least, if not Burning Crusade and Lich King. Why not top it out when Warcraft was at its peak? Let people go to Lich King for free. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's the thought. When it comes to something like World of Warcraft, or I was going to say Final Fantasy XIV, something interesting they're doing, and this came out of their Paris Fan Fest, which we'll talk about in more detail later on in the show, but they, and you may have noticed this on Twitch, if you're a Twitch Prime person, you can get Final Fantasy XIV for free up to level you get the base, basically Realm Reborn, for free right now, and I think it might be a free month. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's, Chatters.
Yeah, 30 days.
Is it 30 days for free for Twitch Prime? So that is a very smart thing for Square to do with an expansion that they're pushing in June. Let people get to that point now in the game and really get to wanting that expansion, and then sell them the expansion. You know what I mean?
I thought about it, but I was like,
No, it's like 30 days for free. Get them hooked, right? So I think Square's doing the type of thing right now. And I realize, you know, I know I've personally talked about that I enjoy Final Fantasy XIV a lot. It does not compete with numbers-wise with WoW. I mean, it does very well, but it doesn't do as good as WoW. Who knows, though? Activision Blizzard hasn't released WoW numbers for a while, but I assume just based on people streaming it on Twitch, people talking about it on Twitter, there's probably just more people on WoW still than there is Final Fantasy. WoW's still going to take a long time to topple, but it's not the 10 million it once was. So, anyway. Some folks in chat, interesting. Bobby Blackwell saying, I remember back when everyone thought EverQuest was the 800-pound gorilla and would never be dethroned. I'm going to come back to that thought in a minute, actually. Miltonius Games says, Battle Pass is the new kind of subscription model. SG100 Matt says, sports games are going to have to go that subscription route. It kind of already is leaning towards that. You know, you're kind of paying for the yearly updates to the rosters and some new, you know, that's why everybody makes those jokes about roster update 2019 or whatever. Anyway, Miltonius does point out, ESO has my favorite MMO model. A lot of people like that. Buy the game once. You don't have to pay a monthly fee anymore. I know that monthly fee turns a lot of people away. But that's how Blizzard made its money for years and years and years. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Again, I hope layoffs don't occur, but it wouldn't be surprising at this point, especially on the Activision side. I don't think Blizzard's going to be as hurt by this as we think. I think Blizzard's already made those cutbacks with what we've seen happen with Heroes of the Storm and so on. But I think I would worry a little more for the Activision side. And I hope we're wrong. And I hope this is all just rumors. But you know what? Some of the interesting thing things that the big companies have had to deal with lately is that, you know, how many times we've heard this story? Developers that used to work for XYZ big company have spun off and started their own indie studio and developed this indie darling for PC and Switch, PlayStation 4. You know what I mean? How often are we hearing that these days? So, yeah. You know, even for folks that may unfortunately experience a layoff with Activision, I hope folks are able to find the diamond in the rough, you know, is that maybe new studios will be birthed where they can do something on a smaller budget, you know, with a smaller risk and maybe still a great reward because a lot of those indie titles are still doing pretty well for themselves.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Anyway, I want to move on to another story because I think in some ways this is actually related a little bit. Bear with me. I want to talk about the behemoth from this week. Like, literally, second story slot on our last episode was, oh, we're hearing rumors that EA might drop this game called Apex Legends on us this next week from the Titanfall developers. We didn't know a whole lot besides that, right? Well, it dropped on Monday, and boy, did it drop. Because they are saying that as far as Apex Legends go, it is landed hugely. What were they saying? I think it was saying 10 million people within the first, like, already. And it's not even been out a week, and 10 million people have already downloaded it and experienced it. Up to, I think they said, 1 million people online at the same time. And now, some blogs and some sites are questioning, could Apex Legends be a threat to Fortnite's dominance? And this kind of ties back to what Bobby was saying, is that at one point, we all thought EverQuest was going to be the behemoth that could never be toppled. Well, now here we are, looking at a game that at least this week, we'll see what the longevity holds, but at least this week has managed to really put a little bruise on Fortnite. Go look at what the top streaming games are on Twitch. I don't know what they are right this
second, they're
kinda, but I'm going to guess it's Apex Legends, it's and Fortnite is
almost like a hero shooter battle royale type game. They kind of took a little bit from
Overwatch. They took a little bit from Yeah, they did. And you know, and I'm sure one thing that many of you have been hearing about Apex Legends as well is that there's some very strong representation in the game. You know, which I know some people go, oh, big deal. But, you know, for some people, yes, it's a big deal because it's like, oh, you get to see yourself, you know, represented in the game. And
okay, like to me, like, and I was thinking about this earlier, like a lot of these announcements nowadays seem very forced. Like, it's like we're just including it just...
I'm going to stop you right there. Because it's not the developers, it's not these people that are forcing it. What's happening, and this is the mistake so many fucking people are making on, sorry, I get very passionate about this, because when you read the responses to things on Twitter, it's like, so what? Who cares? And all this stuff. Well, for one, when I hear that there's like a gay dude in Apex Legends, I go, well, I care. That's pretty awesome in a way. But here's the thing. You know, who's making a big deal out of it? They're usually, these things are in little quotes. So for example, there was a interview that they did with this website, Rock Paper Shotgun, which I don't even, I've heard of that site, but it's not, oh, I'm going to be real shady here for a minute. It's not like the one I'm going to go to every day, right?
Right.
It's not an A-list, oh God, somebody's going to send this to them and they're going to hate us. It's not like the A-list site that everybody knows about, you know what I mean, when it comes to gaming news, right? Uh-huh. They were asked in an interview if this is Bloodhound non-binary, and it was confirmed that fact. Okay, so it was asked in this one interview. Not a big deal, right? It was asked in an interview question by this outlet that wanted to know the answer. The answer was given. Then what happened, Loki? Every other website takes it and runs with it. The developer didn't make a big deal out of it, Loki. Everybody else did.
All right, I'm just thinking back to, like, you know, the original Metroid when we didn't even know the main character's gender in that game. I mean, and it didn't matter because it's just a fucking video game.
There's no
internet. It doesn't matter. Like, what do I care what the sexuality of this person that's killing other people is? I mean, it's just a person killing another person.
There was no internet at the time, Loki. So it's a little bit different because if the internet had been out, then probably, you know, that little spoiler probably would have been out there a lot sooner.
I mean, I get it.
It was, when that happened, it was a big deal. You know,
right?
Like,
right. Well, I get
chicks can be heroes too. Yes,
no, I
not
get that
Woman.
It's important to some people. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, unless the game is having me engage in sex with people, I don't see how the sexuality of the character even comes into play at all in the. As I mean, it's cool to have that as the background of the character, but it doesn't really. It's not a part of the game, I guess.
Okay. So play the game then.
Exactly. I don't care about that. I'm just like, I'm just thinking like from an outsider looking, it's just like we see a lot more of these announcements that, oh yeah, this character is this person now. Oh, this character is this. And it's like,
it wasn't an announcement. That's where I'm correcting you. It wasn't an announcement.
But what about
Loki?
Like on the Overwatch side of things?
But they were also remember with Blizzard. Also remember that they were under a lot of pressure because when you look at the characters in World of Warcraft, it's a lot of, you know, big-tittied elves. And, you know, there was very lot of stereotype there. So they were under a lot of pressure to really make, you know, make something that reflects the fucking real world. And so when they did Overwatch, they did a really good job. But it's also, Loki, it is kind of the same thing. Blizzard did not put out a press release that said, she's gay. They didn't do that. What happened is that they put it in one comic book. They said, by the way, Tracer's got a girlfriend. You know, there's a nice story. And for those that are gay, it's like, oh my God, like somebody, like there's somebody out there like me. It's not always like the same thing. I see something that actually represents me a little bit, and then everybody else runs with the headline.
All right,
it's Kotaku, and it's all these other websites. Sorry, I'm picking on one, but it's all these sites. It's Rock, Paper, Shotgun. It's everybody that's running the headlines and saying, Tracer's gay.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Neat.
Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, I do kind of get where Loki's coming from, though to be fair, I'm all for representation. I mean, it is a little exhausting.
No, I'm not saying there shouldn't be representation. I'm just saying, like, because there's some people who are like, oh, well, there's you know, people that aren't men or, you know, aren't straight. Well, then I'm just not going to play this game. And I mean, there's stupid people out there. But, like, I don't know. I don't even know why people are asking these questions. I guess it's cool. They can ask whatever they want.
Well, I think in Bloodhound's case, it's very ambiguous in the game. Is that, and I think there were a lot of people going, well, looking at how diverse this cast is, Bloodhound, you can't see Bloodhound's face. So, and the voice is kind of, you're not sure. So I think there were a lot of people going, is Bloodhound male? Is Bloodhound female? And so I think somebody asked the question, like, where is Bloodhound male or female? And the answer was Bloodhound is neither. Bloodhound is a non-binary character. Oh, wait, that's a thing? People can be non-binary? Yeah, and you wouldn't have known because the game never showed it to you before.
I guess that's cool.
Yeah. So, I don't know, that's just kind of... But anyway, okay, let's back up from that. Obviously, yes. That is exciting and all that other stuff. I mean, as far as, you know... Loki, someday it won't be such a big deal. Someday it'll just be like, oh, cool. Like, you know, there's a couple, you know, black women that are a part of this squad, and we see that all the time. So I'm used to seeing that now because, yes, a certain population of the planet happens to be black women. And so, you know, like there will come a time. We're not at that time. Especially if you look at all the other stuff in society... Da 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 da. I could talk your ear off about this for hours and hours. I'm not going to do
that. Right.
Let's go back to the whole Apex Legends and the impact that it's having here today, gone tomorrow. I'm not saying Fortnite's going to go under or anything like that, but it is very interesting how the attitudes in gaming and how the gaming community and so forth, that can shift on a dime. You know what I mean? And it's like, if I am Epic and I am the creators of Fortnite, you bet your ass I'm watching this going, oh, shit, somebody's here to, you know, snatch a lot of the people that are looking at Fortnite because it is another Battle Royale game. But to be fair, didn't Fortnite do that to PUBG? Right?
Yeah.
And not that, look, PUBG's doing fine for itself.
And
it's
Fortnite's
still a game
got
a lot
its,
of people are playing.
Its own unique mechanic.
Fortnite's not going to die. I mean, you can't play Apex Legends on the Switch or mobile phones, so Fortnite's still a thing there. So I'm not saying, like, oh, there can be only one. That's not what I'm saying, but you've got it. Like, the dominance, the king of the pack, the number one movie at the box office, that's going to change at some point as attitudes start changing. And so Apex Legends, like, literally came out of nowhere and has now kind of done that. And I'm sure that free price tag has gone a long way in doing that. But, you know, a lot of people, I think, also appreciate, yes, they do loot boxes, but they tell you the percentages right up front, right? And these other things that they're doing.
And also, like, with that, though, it's like, I don't feel as bad with loot boxes in a game that's free to play. You know, it's not like you're trying to sell me a $60 game. And, by the way, you also need to buy Season Pass. And you need to buy all these loot boxes because... we need to make all the money, and we're still not meeting our expectations, so let's fire 100 people.
Questbuster says it also helps that when Apex Legends dropped, it wasn't a demo or a beta. It was a finished AAA battle royale that no one expected. And it's been holding up quite well, which is interesting. Now, isn't this interesting? Apex Legends essentially is an EA game, right? Because it's Respawn and it's through Origin. It's an EA game.
Well, yeah, it's Respawn. Yeah.
So now I'm looking at Anthem. And they had kind of a troubled demo weekend. But this Apex Legends has had no problems. Now, I'm not going to – look, every time I try to talk about why can't the servers just fucking work, I hear from the tech people on why the servers can't just fucking work. But let's be real. The consumers have got to be looking at this going, Apex – I mean, it's had some hiccups. I had like a difficult – I couldn't connect to the server right away, but I literally clicked retry and then it worked. So like – just minor little hiccups, Apex Legends has been kind of working, especially for a game that's free.
You
right?
could say, though, that it could slightly undercut, you know,
that's
Anthem
where I'm going.
Because
that's where I'm going.
It's free to play and it works versus paying $60 for something
if
that
were,
it hopefully will work.
If I were BioWare, I would be fucking livid right now. I would be livid that EA, my corporate bosses, allowed this game to drop 4 weeks before my big game.
Well,
that's $60 to buy that had a forced online early staggered thing done by the publisher so some of the early warts could be exposed. All that stuff is it's going to cut into sales of Anthem. It's going
to be fair. Respawn kind of hat was on the opposite end of that spectrum come Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2. You remember, they released Titanfall 2, and then it got butchered by, I think, Battlefield 1 and the Call of Duty game. So, yeah. So now at least they have something that's come out that hopefully will be doing all the undercutting instead. But I am very disappointed that Titans aren't in the game because it is in the Titanfall universe, but there's no giant robots. Or
you do call things down the sky. Like the gal that you play in the very beginning, she's some sort of medic that you play the tutorial level, and like her ultimate is she calls down a big like heal thing, or not like a heal thing. It's a pod that has supplies in it, like heal supplies, and you see it come down from space and all that stuff. So there's elements from the Titanfall games that kind of make their way in there.
Oh, the Titans.
I know. Well, I mean,
someday.
This is the beginning. There's only like what, 8 characters in the game, like, and 6
and
of
then
them
also like
are
all
free.
The wall running and stuff that they had in Titanfall was pretty awesome. Like if they had that kind of movement in this, whew.
So I mean, wait, because a lot of that stuff may be a reality later on down the line. I would like to see more like things that I don't necessarily have to team up with other people to do, but we'll see. I don't know. I just need to get in there and play already, and then maybe I'll kind of change my mind. I'll be like, oh, it was really fun. It wasn't that bad. We'll see. So, but I liked what very little I've played of Apex Legends so far, but I really think this, nobody, I don't think, was expecting it to do this well, and it's going to have some very interesting ripple effects. I think Anthem, again, I mean, I might be surprised and Anthem just runs away, but I think that game is being set up to fail in so many ways that, like, again, if I am BioWare, I'm just like, why are you doing this to us?
Because it's going to fail to meet expectations, and then hundreds of people are going to get laid off because they have to mitigate costs or something.
It's going to be really – the sad thing is it's going to be EA's fucking fault all across –
But this is
every
what they
level.
Do. They eat studios.
Anyway, but there's that. But then what about, like, you know, the Fortnites? Not that I'm saying, like, Fortnite is going to, like, just suddenly disappear, but maybe Fortnite's dominance is, you know, maybe it's going to be the number 2 game on Twitch now for a little bit, or at least
for
the foreseeable
future.
Yeah,
or if anything, maybe, like, PUBG or something's going to get, you know, kind of hit by that.
I think they both will. And I think, you know, any game that's out there, you know, that you only have so much time in the day to play so many games. So I think all the games are going to be feeling that. But I think now we also see a little more about why Epic has been trying to do more besides just Fortnite. They have used their time at the top of the heap very wisely to launch a new store that gives away free games and ties in with their publishing platform that gives a better cut. Like, they've been using their time on the top of the heap to the best of their ability, because maybe in a way Epic has also foreseen we can't be on the top forever.
Yeah.
Because tons of people have been trying to come for the Battle Royale crown. Just nobody has quite succeeded at this level yet, but here we are now. Apex Legends has really come out of the blue. We'll see if they maintain it.
That, the next genre will come along, and then
will be up to Respawn and EA. You're right. Then there'll be another thing. So, Let's see. Frodo Swaggins in chat says, they're going to make a lot of money with this game, though. Perhaps will lead to something else one day. We'll see. S. Joan Hunter Matt says, the shitty thing is they're going to put all this effort to get the servers working for Anthem, only to shut them down in a few short years if the game doesn't sell well. And then Frodo Swaggins also says, probably a good thing because Titanfall never got that big. And as Bobby pointed out, again, Titanfall 2 was released right next to another game that took all the attentions you were kind of getting into.
Well, that's another thing, yeah. Like, speaking about Anthem there, like, I know you like your BioWare games and stuff like that, but, like, it's kind of hard for me to sell me on a game that is, given EA's track record, maybe unplayable in a few years. I mean, that's ridiculous. And the same can be said about, like, the last Call of Duty, Call of Duty Black Ops 4. I mean, that game will be unplayable in a few, in, you know, at some point when they shut the servers down.
I really do think, I think EA's gonna, the person EA's gonna hurt most of all with the success of this game is EA. But we'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong. What do I know? I'm some schmo on the internet with a podcast. What do I know? You know? So we'll see. Maybe I'll be proven completely wrong.
Yeah.
But for now, we'll move on to our next story, Loki.
So since we were talking about Epic and Fortnite, we can also talk about Nintendo, because we did reference to them earlier and their online platform and how they have some creative ways to do voice chat. Well, you may remember when Fortnite came out on the Switch, it said, fuck your stupid way using the app. We just will have you plug in a microphone into the Switch and it'll just fucking work. And so now they are licensing that voice chat software to other companies that want to be able to put it in their own games. So the company Vivox, they are focused on voice and text chat in online games. So that basically they're going to authorize Switch developers that can integrate the Vivox SDK software kit into their games, which allow Switch owners to be able to play games and be able to do voice chat using just the existing audio jack on the Switch itself and not some stupid phone Switch headset splitter hybrid bullshit that you have to do, because it just works. So they're saying that the chat tools will also allow Switch games that incorporate crossplay with PC, Xbox One, or PlayStation 4 to work as well. And yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So interesting that somebody besides Nintendo solved one of Nintendo's online biggest problems.
It's just so fucking dumb. I
well
I,
maybe and you know what maybe like I, Nintendo's gonna look at this own thing and just be like, well, we're just gonna, you know, if they decide ultimately they want to get rid of the app. I think, Loki, I think the whole time the Switch could have done this perfectly well, I think Nintendo wanted that app to be a big deal. Nintendo wanted that app on everybody's phones because at
but
some point
do,
they wanted
though?
That app to be, they wanted that app to be like a central hub for Nintendo's growth into the mobile phone thing. So that you could tap other buttons within the map to go right to Mario Run or the upcoming Dr. Mario or things like this. This was part of a bigger
picture. But did they ever
that
do any of that, though, with the app?
No, it's part of a bigger picture that would never came together. That's what I truly think is happening here. I don't think the Switch ever needed that app. Nintendo wanted to make you get that app.
But it's just like, it's basically like...
Thank you. Bobby phrases this another way. They wanted that app to be a Trojan horse like how Discord did it. That's what I'm saying.
But it sounds to me like when I was working at previous companies and they're like, oh, well, this company's doing this and they have an app. We should have an app because they have an app. But do you really need an app?
Loki, all the other podcasts have an app. Why doesn't OLR have an app? Shouldn't OLR have an app so you can like download, I don't know, extra shows and I don't know, behind the scenes things and other stuff? Don't we need an app? They have an app. Why can't we have an app?
I don't know. Bobby, why don't we have an app? Get working on it, Bobby. We need an app.
Maybe Bobby doesn't want to do a fucking app. Now what do we do?
Well, gonna have to cobble something together.
Here's the thing. The point is, and you know,
I still have my old OLR PSP file somewhere.
And that was a thing we did that worked for us that not a lot of people did. They have a PSP website. Why don't we have a PSP website? And no disrespect to any podcast with apps. There's an awful lot of them, right? My whole thing is just that what works for one person might not just be in another person's wheelhouse right now. You know what I mean? It might not just be what another person's looking to do at this time. Sometimes the measure to success is not just copying what everybody else is doing. even though the gaming industry tends to do that a lot. So, anyway, what are you smirking about?
Bobby, where's our Battle Royale game? What the hell?
Let's see. S200 Matt's like, Bobby's like, pay me. The poor chat. You leave Bobby alone. He's trying to do his own damn show. So, anyway. Okay. I guess we'll move on. I guess we ran out of steam on that topic. So let's talk about Axiom Verge being the free game on the Epic storefront right now. So Epic Games Store had Axiom Verge as the free game, and apparently it was broken for a hot minute. Now, I was gone this weekend, so I didn't get to get it until today, and I think it's already fixed. But here's the irony. The Epic Games version was broken because of something about Steam, but it's not totally what you think. Here's the deal. So some tweets started going out to Epic and developer Tom Happ, who made Axiom Verge, because, you know, despite however you might feel about Axiom Verge, it's pretty fucking impressive that one person did that whole game. Soundtrack, design, art, like everything. So props to Tom, because that game is pretty awesome. So anyway, then Tom Happ put out a tweet. For anyone missing Steam.xmb from the Epic Store, please go to AV in your library, click the gear icon, verify, then update. I was thinking, it being Epic and all, I shouldn't include Valve's DLLs and such, so I excluded all files with Steam in the name. Oops. And what happened is that when you would go into one room that had these Steam pipes, they made a sound effect, and the sound file was called Steam something something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he deleted that file, so guess what made the game crash? So in his effort to, I got to scrub all the references to Steam. Oops. No, but this was actual Steam. So it's fine. I'm simplifying it greatly, but I'm just not, too. That is really how simple
it
was.
He was just giving you, a brief emulation of how some games work on Steam, whereas they don't because they're broken and there's no quality control.
And at the end of the day, it was free, so you can't complain about that much. And it's one of those things, you got love it or hate it. I know people have feelings on the Epic Store. It's free, not like sign up for a subscription and get a free game every two. No, it's just sign up for the free store account, which granted means you're going to get spam email, but everybody has a pocket email address all their spam email goes to. Come on.
That's all of them.
And people sign up for it and get the free game.
I was trying to see if I already have this game. I think I have it somewhere. Maybe
you might have it in Steam, or you might have it on... I think it was a free game on PlayStation Plus at one point.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people have it on PlayStation Plus.
I'm surprised they don't have it on Steam.
It's a really... I mean, obviously, it's heavily inspired by Super Metroid, but it's not a copy either. Like a lot of the... power-ups and things you use to get through the game are very different. So, if you haven't played Axiom Verge, there's no better time than the present because you have that free one on PC. So I would say check it out. Frodo Swaggin says, what's the game about? I actually have a hard time remembering the story. I think it's one of those you wake up and you're not sure what's going on type of thing, but you're obviously like you're in an alien landscape. And I remember there's things about hacking. A lot of hacking comes in because you like end up like hacking walls to make new walls and you actually like glitch things out. And that's an intended part of the game mechanic. So, but it's all like 2D Super Metroid style. So that's more the way I've tried to like explain the game to other people is it's Super Metroid, but like different power-ups, different kind of mechanic. But at the end of the day, it's that same type of setup. I see you going to the Epic Store and getting it right now.
Well, it expires on the 21st. I just wanted to make sure I don't forget.
Might as well, right? Of course. Yeah. All right. Metal Mayhem says, Origin was giving out games left and right for a while, remember? But then again, compared to Steam, Origin is the redheaded stepchild, so... Well, interestingly enough, did they stop giving out? I mean, they were only EA games because EA is Origin.
I don't know.
Did they stop? I don't remember. But, well, if you think about it, though, this Apex Legends is free, and it's a pretty high-quality game. It's obviously got the loot box mechanics and other types of pay mechanics in there, but for the most part, you get a pretty rich experience for free, so maybe that's just the direction they've decided to go in at this point. I don't know. Anyway. Let's move on. Loki, let's get to your story.
All right. So Microsoft is basically...
Sorry, quickly, Pixel Podcast does say, I think Origin did stop their free game a month thing. They probably ran out of games to give away, honestly.
Yeah. So Microsoft's making a slight rebrand of their game studio. So instead of Microsoft Studios now making your favorite games on the Microsoft platforms, you can look forward to Xbox Game Studios as making those games on that platform. So they're rebranding... And they have also, you know, all those different studios, which we still don't know what the fuck they're making. But there's a lot of studios that are...
Yes, we do. We know they're making things for the next console. Well, that's what they're making.
But what things for the next console?
Wait till June and find out. A few of them.
I don't want to wait.
Typical gamer. As far as the rename goes, what do you think? I mean, I think this is like... Big deal. I think it's nobody cares.
Yeah, they're
the average consumer does not care about what title is on their splash screen.
They're basically their excuse is, well, Microsoft Studios stands at 13 distinct and diverse game development teams, and with this new rebranding, they're going to be organized under one.
Okay, yay for reorganization. But I think at the end of the day, also, I think this has a lot to do with maybe Microsoft really wanting Xbox to be synonymous with gaming, especially when it comes to, like, PC and their actual
boxes. Well, yeah,
because
they're
going to
be doing the Xbox stuff from PC.
Right, exactly. So I think this is more about a shift to getting you to think, like, when you think Xbox, you think games, which is what they want to do. And they want to leverage their dominance in the operating system industry to... kind of do that a little bit. And I think that's what this is really all about. But otherwise, this is also like I'm really kind of like diving into the whole like brands and what does it mean and, you know, that whole stuff. But I think for the average consumer, it's like, just sell me a good game. Is Crackdown 3 going to be good or not? That's what the average consumer cares about. So anyway. All right, moving on. Let's talk about a kind of a surprise release of a very old game on the Nintendo Switch. And I actually noticed this too, going into the store, because I was trying to look at some of the other games that have released recently, which, by the way, shout out to the game Tangle Deep, because remember we had that guy on OLR that made that game. God, it was probably about 2 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they were doing a Kickstarter for the publishing at the time.
Yes.
I don't like to get a lot of Kickstarters on OLR anymore. And I think in general, less people are doing them because so many of the Kickstarter projects, like, where is Bloodstained still? I mean, yes, we had the 8-bit inspired version, but I mean, we're still waiting on that. But anyway, my point is, I don't usually like to get Kickstarters here anymore unless it is like for the publishing costs or like you already have a game ready to go. You just need a little help getting it out the door. But anyway, we had them on the show and they're out on the Switch store. So they were on the store this week. So I saw that. But what I also wanted to shout out was that I also noticed Commander Keen, and I was like, What did they reboot Commander Keen? I don't remember talking about this on OLR. This would have caught my eye that they're like remaking Commander Keen for the Switch. No. This was a surprise release of Commander Keen in Keen Dreams, which I don't think was the original series. I think it was one of the later ones. If I remember, I'm trying to remember. Keen Dreams, I think, came a little later, but it was, you know, it was a little bit more platformer on PC. But here's the thing about it. Is it a remaster for the Switch? No. It's the PC game in all of its VGA graphic glory.
Oh, VGA. I'm sure
on
that,
the Nintendo
that looks
Switch.
More like EGA to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, that is literally it. That's what you're paying for, the actual original game. But I did think it was kind of neat. I was like, wow, this like old school 90s PC game is just all of a sudden on the Switch. That's kind of cool. But then I'm like, wow, if this sells well, I mean, Unleash the Hounds. We're going to have all sorts of, like, 90s
Duke
retro
Nukem.
Things. ZZT for Switch. Hell yeah. But why not? Why not the original Duke Nukem or Jill of the Jungle?
Yeah. Jazz Jackrabbit.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway. But I thought that was kind of neat. I don't know.
That should be, like, the... Like, you know how they have the Sonic Racing game? They should have Jazz Jackrabbit as the character, because why not?
Why not?
They had Danica Patrick, so... Yeah,
why not? They should do an Apogee Racing game. I don't know. I kind of don't think that's going to happen. Anyway, so I just thought that was like kind of like a nice little surprise release on the Switch this week. So, hey, if you're into the old classic 90s games, go check it out. Also, an interesting little thing, because I bet a lot of people, like, if you're downloading and playing that game today, you're probably experiencing it through, like, Abandonware... where people have made up this law that says, oh, they don't sell game. If they haven't sold a game in a year, you can just pirate it for free. I don't know what they made up with that whole thing. But it's like this kind of proves that they don't necessarily want you to do that, because they may still, like, whoever owns the rights to the game may want to put it out on a new console or what have you. So anyway. All right. Let's move on to let's move on to some other classic games in a regular segment that we do here called the Classic Game of the Week. And so we venture through the portal of time and space, the portal labeled Radio Magic, and visit the Classic Game of the Week, where we are joined by the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am good. It is nice to have you here once again, even if by phone and even if graciously while you're on a break from your work. But it's always good to have you here on the show, and I know you're going to be back full time very, very soon, so very happy to have it.
And there may even be a surprise before that.
Ooh, can't wait. Well, anyway, no surprise here, because we've done this segment for a very, very, very long time. It's the Classic Game of the Week, where you're going to jump into the gaming vault and find a game that, hey, these kids should be checking out this game this week. What did you pick?
This literally will not fit in my vault right now, but maybe my garage. Excuse me. It's Alpine Racer. It was a 3D skiing game that came out by Namco in 1994. I played a lot more of the sequel than this than starting at the beginning. Basically, the very first game really just had three courses and two modes. It was you would either do downhill or gate racing, and then you had the three courses for each, and then you had race and time attack. So you actually stood on a set of, like, skis that would move, and you held on to stability bars to play. And believe it or not, it actually came out in North America first. It came out September 11th, 1994, and then in Japan it came out in June 1995. It was on Namco's System 22 arcade system, which the other stuff that came out on it was, let's see, Ridge Racer. The other stuff that came out on it was, let's see what else, Time Crisis. Air Combat 22, Dirt Dash, Rave Racer, Tokyo Wars, Prop Cycle. So there were, if that puts things in perspective for people. But as far as the game itself, it did get a sequel called Alpine Racer 2 that also ran on System 22 software that had three different skiers that you could choose. And then you could play two players simultaneously with two cabinets linked. And then, of course, there was a sequel to that, Alpine Racer 3, which came out on the PS2. And then they made a remake for the iPhone and iPod Touch, and it was ported to whatever the Zeebo is. I have to see what a Zeebo is. A 3D-enabled entertainment and education system from Zeebo, Inc. Ooh, okay, whatever that is. So back to this. It actually had another sequel to the game. It came out in 2013 called Super Alpine Racer by Bandai Namco Games. As for its perception, it was actually considered to be one of the best and most unique and realistic games of its time for its controls. It gave 5 out of 5 stars from Next Generation Magazine for, quote, an atypical approach to its success and execution. And then it won Best New Equipment in 1995 at the Music Operators Association Expo. So this was, I think, one of those big games that really got racing games sort of out of the car and onto your feet.
Yeah, I seem to remember, didn't they have one of these at Golfland back in the day when we were discovered DDR? Like, I feel like I remember there being a big, like, skiing thing.
They had a mountain racer, too, which is why that's the one I played most of.
Gotcha. Okay, so close enough. And yeah, it's you're right about the complicated setup, meaning that probably not a ton of people. I mean, you know, if you had a big arcade near you, you probably saw this game, but there was an extremely limited amount of footage of this game out there online, at least things that are ripped directly from the video feed. I mean, there's some, like, over-the-shoulder video that's not as glamorous to look at just because, you know, there's a lot of background noise and stuff, but I'm really having to rely on the PlayStation sequel to give us some footage tonight. Well, because the original was pretty limited. I think this game probably is better known for the sequels.
Well, the other thing about, though, especially with Alpine Racer 2, it actually was involved in a sleep study with Tetris. It was used by a Harvard sleep scientist named Robert Stickles to study the relationship between learning and sleep. And he found that after playing the game for hours before going to sleep, subjects suffering from anterograde amnesia, which is the inability to form new memories, would dream about skiing.
Huh. I wonder if that's, well, I don't think it's the same study, but it's interesting to note that, you know, the recent release Tetris Effect was that whole thing. The Tetris Effect was named after a study. I know I'm deviating from what this game is, but it is interesting how video games used in studies really kind of, you know, kind of show us a little something about ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, basically, I think that a lot of, you know, anything that we do that stimulates the brain and leads to something that's going to have an impact on what you've done in your day would still bring in that same sort of thing. I had the same thing happen with DDR. That's actually how I learned not to, you know, go back to the sensor every time, is I dreamed of myself playing without going back to the sensor, and after that, I never had any problems with DDR.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting how dreams can impact real life like that. Well,
and as speed cubers dream about Rubik's Cube algorithms.
Well, I don't know if there's much more to say about Alpine Racer, so there it is, your classic game of the week, Alpine Racer.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
But just because we didn't have a lot to say on it this week compared to some of the other previous weeks doesn't mean it's not an important game, because obviously, you know, you have the sequels, but it looked great for its time, as you kind of mentioned. Like, it was kind of ahead of its time in its way. And in some ways, I don't know. It's similar. Obviously, you have, like, Ridge Racer, and you have Alpine Racer. So there's kind of, like, some similarities there. But there's some things even.
It was on Namco.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? They probably had a lot of stuff in common kind of at its core. But, a lot that
they
really enjoyed.
They ran on the same equipment.
Game. Yeah. So... Well, I know that was a little short, but we'll get back to the show here in just a moment. But quickly, I thought I'd just kind of see, like, how have you been? What kind of games have you been playing this week while you, unfortunately, haven't been with us on OLR?
Still Resident Evil 2, you know, shoot him in the head. I'm so absolutely into this game for more of its graphical things now and noticing, like, the Easter eggs and background detail. But this is going to sound completely disgusting, and I don't know if I've talked about it before. I'm really pleased with how they've rendered anatomy, because with the zombies.
I think you did mention a little bit of this when you did the original Resident Evil a couple weeks ago as your classic game. You kind of talked about how this new one, you were like, wow, the kills are very real.
Well, it's not really just a matter of that. It's just that, you know, they are, depending on the bullet you use, you know, you have the effect on the body. Except I do miss the Magnum completely blowing the head wide open. But, you know, it's still pretty fun. And just, like, those little details to me make the game live a little bit more. And the voice acting is tremendously amazing.
Okay. Well, Jamie, it's great to talk to you as always. And hope to see you back here real, real soon. Any parting thoughts or parting words for our listeners this week?
I've discovered that we have a Jollibee in town, and I've eaten there twice in the last 3 days.
It's good stuff, and I don't blame her. Anyway, we are back.
What'd
in
she say
studio.
Was in town?
Jollibee.
What's that?
It's like a fast food chain, but I think its roots are in Filipino related food. So yeah. Cool. So anyway, we're back. Hi, live in studio with our show already in progress. Episode number 763 for tonight, February the 10th of 2019. Welcome to all those of you that are watching us live at twitch.tv/VOG Network on Sunday night. And, of course, those that are listening along on our podcast feed as well. We're going to get back into our show here with some rapid fire news. Actually, real quick, though, I skipped something I was going to talk about earlier in the show. I accidentally did this. But I think you kind of touched on this a little bit as well. But the story I was going to talk about was Battlefield 5 and the hopes for how well that was going to sell in this whole thing. Because I was supposed to talk about that when I talked about the Apex Legends and everything. But apparently... Battlefield 5 did not sell as well as EA had hoped it would. The lowered outlook for revenue in the quarter is what EA did, saying that the sales in last quarter 2018 did not perform to their expectations. They didn't really say what it was, but that was their big flagship game was Battlefield 5. And remember, this game got delayed, and so it was supposed to originally, I think, be in the spring, and then it ended up getting pushed back a little bit, so kind of had some problems getting out there from the get-go. But obviously, you know, they have some good news now with everything that's going on with Apex Legends, and I think some of their, you know, stock and that sort of thing is, like, recovered a little bit. So that's good, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, now let's get in. Sorry, I missed that earlier. I was going to bring that up when we talked about, like, EA and how they've been kind of, like, coming and going. But let's get into some other rapid-fire news here. Loki.
So, you know, with Crackdown 3 right around the corner, you may want to play some Crackdown. So, to be able to do that, Microsoft has made the original Crackdown free for everyone to download and play. So, it's actually available through the Xbox One through backwards compatibility, because it wasn't originally in the 360 title. And you can go ahead and get it for free. I already got it for free the last time they had it available for free, which was around Crackdown 2. I don't know. It was a while ago, but I have it already. But it's awesome, and you should go check it out. And it's free, so you can't be free. And then, of course, there's the movies and everything. So I'm still waiting for my Sonic the Hedgehog trailer already. We saw, like, a poster for it when I went to the movies yesterday to see the Lego Movie 2. But a movie that is still in the works is the Super Mario Brothers movie. And, of course, you know, the Mario movie is going to be done by Illumination, though it's not expected to be released anytime soon, though. It's going to be released likely sometime in 2022. So
that's a little wait.
So got a bit of a wait for that. We'll probably forget that there is even a Super Mario Brothers movie by then. But yeah, so you'll just have to wait. And instead, you're just going to have to do what, you know, Sega's going to do when Nintendo don't. And that's release a movie that's live action with Sonic the Hedgehog. And oh God, it's going to be terrible.
But we'll
see. But I am totally seeing it because Jim Carrey's in it.
All right, let me get into some news as well. So the next Nintendo Switch Online titles have been revealed. So we're going to be getting Super Mario Bros. 2 and Kirby's Adventure will be the games that we're going to be getting on Switch Online this month. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are both pretty huge titles. I think a lot of people knew Mario 2 especially was an inevitability. It was just a matter of when. So the answer is this week, February 13th, I believe, was the day those are getting added. So, only two games for us. That's because Japan, again, getting the third game. So they're getting a game, and I'm sorry, guys. I forget the original title of the game, but it's a sumo wrestling game that we never, because, you know, sumo wrestling isn't quite as big here. But it was a Tecmo-related sumo wrestling game that they're getting as well. So that's the third game. But what's interesting, they're getting Super Mario 2. Now, a lot of people would think, oh, does that mean they're getting Doki Doki Panic? No, no, no. They're getting Super Mario USA. Which, if you didn't already know, when Super Mario Bros. 2 was released in Japan, our Mario 2 was released in Japan, they rebranded it as Super Mario USA.
Because they already had a Super Mario Bros. 2. The legit Super Mario Bros. 2.
Which was our Lost Levels. Are you confused yet? Well, that's how things were complicated before the internet existed. And we
which doesn't make any sense because they thought it was going to be too hard for, like, people to play it, I guess, was originally the thought. And to my recollection, weren't all games really hard back then anyways? So what would be the point if it was just a little bit harder? You would just get used to it because that's what games are. They're hard.
It's also interesting to me that they released Super Mario USA in Japan when it was all based off Doki Doki Panic anyway. So Japan had Doki Doki Panic, but, and here's, I think, the reason why they did not get Doki Doki Panic on their thing. Remember, that whole thing was an agreement with, like, Fuji Television.
Yeah.
And so the licenses are probably impossible to get renewed and so forth. So that's, like, the closest they could do was to give Mario USA, which I don't know, maybe more people in Japan, that's what they actually played, maybe. I don't know what the sales of those two games were like, but I have a feeling Mario USA probably actually sold better. Than the original Doki Doki Panic did. So, no. Anyway. Metal Mayhem in our chat says, too hard? Motherfucker, have you not played an NES game ever? Hello? Basically, like, a lot of the classic
NES games. Yeah, exactly. Like, all of the games.
Anyway, I am excited for Mario 2 on Switch, even though I know you're kind of over the Nintendo Online thing. Also, interesting to note, those are really primarily single-player games. I mean, I guess the sumo wrestling game is a little more head-to-head, but we're not getting that here. But Mario 2 and Kirby, I mean, but Nintendo Switch Online, the whole thing is, like, sharing with other people, but...
But isn't it, like, really... don't you take turns, though, in...
I don't think Mario 2 even has... Oh, maybe Kirby does, but I don't even think... Mario 2
was only one player, yeah.
Yeah, it was only one player. I think Kirby was only really one player, too. I don't think it had a pass-the-controller type of mode on that either. So, all right, moving on. Let's talk about Mortal Kombat 11. So still some more information trickling out about Mortal Kombat 11, including D'Vorah coming back from Mortal Kombat X or 10 into Mortal Kombat 11. That's the one where it's not the bees. She's the bee lady. Well, I think they're like actually wasps or things like that. You know those wasps are going to eat someone's face off. You know, I already know this thing is going to happen, so people are excited about that.
Now we just need to get Nicolas Cage as a character, and then it will be perfect.
Okay, you're starting to sound like the internet who wanted Shaggy as a character. Where the fuck did that even come from? And why?
It's a meme, but I'm down.
Why is it on websites as like, this is something we reported on. Shaggy is not in Mortal Kombat 11. No shit. That was never, or should I say nether, in the realm of possibility, because... First off, Shaggy's licensed character in a kid's cartoon show. Just because the internet screams and whines and begs for something doesn't mean they're going to get it. I guess once in a while they do, but they weren't going to get this ever.
But Rob, they had Ninja Turtles in Infamous 2.
Well,
Infamous 2. I'm sorry. Injustice 2.
Also, yeah. There wasn't decapitations in Injustice 2, so it's a little different. The bees.
I'm fine with him.
Can you imagine the horrors if the bees came out and chewed off his face?
It would be awesome.
Lord. Anyway, so I don't know. The internet's going to internet, and Shaggy was a thing they interneted, and NetherRealm came out and said not going to happen. Also was announced though. Cabal was also announced this week, which was actually a character I really enjoyed in Mortal Kombat 3. Alan said, I'm waiting for you to get home because I want to make you watch the Cabal fatality that they showed during the live stream today. So I watched it and I was just like, this is my reaction. Why? This is excessive. It's disgusting. Anyway,
it's not excessive enough.
And Shad Leland's in our chat right now saying Cabal's fatality was amazing to see when they showed it off. Of course, y'all are sick. Anyway, moving on, one more story for you guys about in rapid fire news. The Mega Man series apparently doing pretty good. Capcom mentioning that the sales for Mega Man 11 and the Mega Man X Legacy Collection were both strong. That was according to their latest financial briefing for the 9 months ending December 31st. So apparently Mega Man 11 was a strong revival game, and it was probably good that they put it out on almost every system that is out there and available. But good job for Capcom. And good job, yay for Mega Man. Because this means Mega Man 12? Probably, right? I would think.
Yeah, and it also means that, you know, other games that are Mega Man-like don't have to have sequels.
Capcom also wanted to say Monster Hunter World was doing very well, and Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection was doing strongly, and the Onimusha Remaster off to a good start. So, all right, Mega Man 12, who knows, maybe in the future. For now, let's travel around the world and check out what's happening this week as we check out some world release dates, starting in the U.S., Loki.
So we've got The Liar Princess and The Blind Prince on the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Trials Rising on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Of course, Crackdown 3 on PC and Xbox One. DreamWorks Dragons Dawn of the New Riders on the Nintendo Switch. Far Cry New Dawn on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Jump Force on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And finally, Metro Exodus on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
But that's the one that you can only buy on PC in one place, right?
Well, now you can only buy it.
That was the whole thing we got into last week a little bit. All right, anyway. Going over to Japan and checking out the releases over there on the PlayStation 4 this week, Catherine Full Body is out just in time for Valentine's Day. Also, Jump Force is out on the PlayStation 4 in Japan this week. Nobunaga's Ambition, Tashi, apparently some power-up kit, regular, limited edition. What the hell has that series become these days? I don't even know. Anyway, it's still going on the PlayStation 4 and has a new one coming out this week. There is also a full-body box version of Catherine. Your guess is as good as mine what that means. Some collector's edition coming out in Japan as well. There's also price reduction on the game Omega Labyrinth Z.
They added a new Catherine to that Catherine game.
Oh, really?
So now there's three Catherines.
Oh, all the Catherines. And then quickly looking at Nintendo Switch, seeing if they have... They also have the Nobunaga Ambition game this week. It's coming out in Japan. And then Kinero no Korda Octave comes out in regular, something called a treasure box and a blessed party box. Like, there's a lot of additions to this game. I'm trying to see if this is a series we have over here. It looks like it might be based off an anime or something, because it looks like a group of like college or high school age kids that are all playing violin and trumpet and things like that. So it's not exactly Eternal Sonata. Remember that game on 3C? That was an underrated RPG. It's not exactly Eternal Sonata, but it's definitely rooted in music, and it's
it looks like a
type of thing. It's got to be based off an anime. It's got to be.
It looks like it's just a visual novel.
Maybe. All right, well, there it is. Some more releases for you guys and what's coming up in stores this week. So now we're going to get to the mailbag.
Nope, we're getting to the UK.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we got to get to the UK releases.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Well,
let's not jump to the mailbag.
Not here to nudge me.
Sorry, UK, you don't count.
No, I'm just forgetful. Sorry.
So we've got Sid Meier's Civilization VI, Gathering Storm, out on PC, Far Cry New Dawn on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC, Jump Force on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, Metro Exodus, PlayStation 4, Xbox One and PC, and let's see, Legend of Heroes, Trials of Cold Steel on PlayStation 4, and Crackdown 3 on Xbox One and PC. That's it.
All right, Pixel Pacas, by the way, in our chat, clearing up a little bit on Kinero no Korda on this. It is an otome game, a dating sim where a lady dates guys.
Cool.
Representation, huh? Gotta have it. All right. Anyway, let's move on and go to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read your emails here on the show. So let's get to our first email tonight from Robert M., who starts us off saying, interesting to hear about the Nintendo partnership with Line for Dr. Mario. I do know the service dropped the Skullgirls mobile app and Cookie Run, which went on to other publishers. Disney Tsum Tsum is still with Line. Hopefully the game, if it's well designed, and probably would be, considerably outlasts Puzzle Fighter. Or, I mean, honestly, Robert M., some of Nintendo's other games. I mean, Miitomo didn't exactly last a long time. So, yeah, hopefully Dr. Mario has the steam to last a little while. So, there it is. That was the email from Robert M. So,
are we talking about, like, the new puzzle? Didn't they do, like, a new Puzzle Fighter that was kind of crap?
Yeah, there was, like, a whole new Puzzle Fighter that came out on mobile, and about as fast as it came out, it went away. They pulled it, like, really fast. Yeah. Which, by the way, speaking of stuff they pulled, oh, my gosh, Alan. Are you dressed to be on the show? Alan, come here. I'm sorry, guys. I'm making Alan make a cameo. Okay. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Sorry to make you pull you away from whatever else you're doing. Come sit on the couch. Come sit on the edge of the couch. All right. Here, hold this there. Perfect. Okay. So let's talk about I want to talk about like mobile games that go away too soon. So you've been playing this match three game. What happened? Tell us what game and what's going on.
It was a game that I actually started playing when it came out in Japan a whole year before it came out in the U.S. I had to get like a little app that lets you use the Google Play Store, the Japanese one. So I was very into this game. Sailor Moon Drops posted on their Facebook. We're closing. Okay, it's fun. I like collecting all the weird characters like Alan, the boy from the arcade or whatever. I don't understand it.
And no reason given, just bye. This isn't working out for us, so see you later.
Yeah.
All right, go tend to Mr. Smush. He's trying to get into something over there in the kitchen. So anyway,
he's
thank you
with
for
his toy.
Thank you for letting us drag you on the show just like that. Appreciate it. All right. Unfortunately, poor Litton took a nosedive there. That's all right. Bobby Blackwolf says, Alan just hipstered us. Alan's like, I played it before it was cool. And DJ Rama S says, I'm still salty about that. there's a petition going around to keep it alive. And Pixel Pockets is complimenting your t-shirt, just so we're clear. Yeah. All right. Anyway, moving on, let's get to our next email in the mailbag tonight. And again, if you want to email us some week, participate at orangelaundradio.com. Our last email tonight from Frodo Swaggins. Hey, OLR, Frodo Swaggins here. If you are forced to choose only one game to play for the rest of your life, what would that game be? Could even be a game that has not come out yet. Yet another short and sweet email. Haha, love the show as always. Take care. Hey, we love the short emails. We'll read the long emails too, although we may have to cut some things for time. But yeah, please email us. Participate at orangelaundradio.com. Now on to the question. You get to play one game for the rest of your life. What game is it going to be?
That's tough. I don't know. Maybe I would get bored with it, but we'll pick ZZT. Because you can make an infinite amount of games.
Make other games in the game. Yes, actually, I'm gonna go for a similar answer. I was going to say, you might think that I would say an MMO, which is a good answer. I could say WoW or Final Fantasy XIV, which I think are really good answers. But yeah, I think this whole, like, how do you trick this question and wish for more wishes is to answer this with, like, Little Big Planet would be the game that I would want to play, because there's infinite amounts of games still out there within Little Big Planet to be discovered. And honestly, this whole Dreams thing, which I'm hearing more and more about, and it sounds like people are, like, recreating full-on other games in Dreams.
Did you see the was it Everything's Fine meme that they recreated?
No, I didn't see that. Yeah. No, that's sounds funny. So, but yeah, it sounds like Dreams is, like, even – so if you talk about I can use upcoming games – I bet that might be a good candidate for an upcoming game that I would use to wish for more wishes, which is exactly what I'm doing with this answer. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I could always say the Guardian Legend. I mean, that's a really good pick, too.
But you'd get bored with it after a while.
Would I? I don't know. I don't know about that. All right. Let's see. I'm looking at chat, some of the answers in our chat room. Only Sonic says Roblox is kind of infinite. You know, I know more and more people that are randomly playing that game.
Yeah,
I should say randomly. It seems like it's really big in, like, a casual gaming space and with younger people as well.
Well, you know, like I mentioned, my son's doing that Code Ninjas program now. So
did that start officially?
Yeah, he's done his official, like, I'm paying for it, and he's going to it. So
it's getting deducted from a bank account. Well, he better be doing
exactly.
It.
So eventually, though, he gets into, after, like, I think it's like the second year into it, they start doing Lua scripting for Roblox. So they actually teach them how to make their own Roblox levels, which is pretty cool. But right now they're doing Scratch, and then after that they're doing JavaScript. And the JavaScript part I thought was something to do with Minecraft, but it might not be. I don't really know what exactly they do with JavaScript. But I know that the Lua portion is with Roblox and actually creating levels for Roblox. So that's something he wants to do. But yeah, I've seen, cool. You know, that's all he plays is, like, Roblox games. So, I mean, there's a lot out there. I don't know how much of it's good, but there's a lot of things you can do with it.
I'm reading some of the other answers in chat about what game to play for the rest of your life. Sia Tabiri says, can it be a compiled game like the U.S. release of Popolo Kreuz, which was three Japanese games? That's a good idea, too. Can I play one of those, like, 101 games in one NES carts? Although a lot of those
bootleg
games,
carts.
A lot of those games were shit. Let's be real. Super Mario All-Stars would be a good pick because that's really four games.
Mario Maker.
Or yes. There you go. Mario Maker is a good choice, yeah. Too. All right. Anyway. All right, good enough. That's enough answers for now. Let's move on and get into now we can we did the emails. So again, participate at orangelaundradio.com is the place where you can send us an email in the future, and we hope you will. But in the meantime, let's get back into some stories, and Loki's going to get into the next story.
So we talked about franchises that Activision's burned into the ground, one of those being Guitar Hero, and Guitar Hero Live now is actually refunding people for December. So Guitar Hero Live had this thing called Guitar Hero TV. So instead of having, like, the normal DLC thing, you kind of had this subscription service that you paid for. I think SingStar does something similar to that. So you had this, like, streaming servicing that you get to play along with the music and stuff that was in there. But apparently they announced, of course, that they're going to be ceasing the service. But apparently not everybody has gotten the message. And so anybody that bought the game in December, we'll actually be getting a refund for the game. So,
so you probably have to like send in a receipt or some other proof of purchase.
They'll be getting a refund for the Guitar Hero TV if you paid for that service.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you still have the stuff that's on disc, but you have to do that. So apparently, oh no, actually, maybe you do get a refund for the games. Yeah, it says publisher announced the season, but the news, but for anybody that bought the game in December this past year before Guitar Hero TV closed down on January 1st, is entitled to a refund for the game. So it says you'll be left with the songs on the disc, but you get your money back. So they have a claim form that you can go to. So support.activision/article/en.us/fact/guitar-hero-live-ghc.
I'm sure you're already there right now.
I'm sure you can do a web
Google
search.
Google it, for heaven's sakes. You're not going
to
type it.
But you have to show proof of purchase, and then they will send you a gift card for your purchase price.
S200 Matt says, I think this refund is just to avoid the class action lawsuit.
Probably.
Boy, they can't win on that one, huh? But, yeah, you guys got to think about that when it comes to games that have, like, a really big online presence. When you pull that plug, there's going to be some people that are really ticked off about
it. At the very least, though, with this Guitar Hero game, you're only losing a portion of the functionality of it. There's still songs on the disc that you can play. The same can't be said for Anthem when that goes down.
Or a number of
or
other.
Or Overwatch, yeah. Or who knows what else.
All right. Let's move on. I want to talk about some tidbits from Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest in Paris. Some little tidbits about the game came out, including a crossover with Final Fantasy XV. There is going to be a new mount that you will get in Final Fantasy XIV. It is the first four-person mount in the game. Why? Because they brought over the car. They brought over the regalia from Final Fantasy XV as a mount in Final Fantasy XIV, so you can actually get that as a mount. And that actually, in XIV, that'll be really useful in some areas. Like, I'm thinking of the area Eureka, which you can really lose XP if you run into mobs. And, like, if somebody can, like, ferry a bunch of people over from one area to another to get XP easier, I think it'll actually, like, work out really well. So anyway, yes, there is going to be a Final Fantasy.
Are they going to have like Ubers now in the game? People like charging a little bit of gil for
they
you
might,
know.
Port, please. Prop, please. Anyway, who knows? Anything's possible. Other stuff to come with that Final Fantasy 15 crossover, but also an interesting crossover. They announced the next raid and who is designing it. And basically the next 24-man raid in the next expansion is a Nier-influenced raid. So the creators of Nier are making, just like in this latest expansion, Stormblood, the creators of Final Fantasy Tactics and Ivalice and 12 influenced the raid there. They have the creators of Nier are making.
So how does that work with influencing? Do they have like characters that appear in Nier?
They may. We don't know. We don't know the details yet. So, I mean, I think we got the name, and it had I forget the exact name. It had a very Nier-sounding name to it. So, yeah, going to be very interesting. There's that as well. They also officially confirmed the next class in the game is, I think I already forgot the name, Gunbreaker, I think was the name of it. It's basically, it's the gun blade thing, but it's a tank. So they can do like little like shield things and stuff. Yeah, it looks really cool in motion. And Shane says in our chat room, Shad Leland says in our chat room, Rob, talk about how excited you were when they showed off male Viera. Oh, wait, you can't. Yeah, so they officially announced that the Viera is going to be the next playable class and only showed off female tunes and female versions of the Viera. There was no boy bunnies to be found, which is... And don't you fucking pull that lore card on me, because lore can be rewritten. And remember in Final Fantasy XI, only female could be, what was it, Mithra in XI?
Mithra and Galkas were only male.
Well, in the original Final Fantasy XIV release, that was the same way. Only female could be Makote, only male. But then when Yoshida came in and they did Realm Reborn, they said, no, that's stupid. And they did male Makote or whatever they're called in this game, and they did female Rogadens, which are Galka and 11, basically. So everybody's got the same gender. So why on earth they would now be like, Viera is only going to be female, is going to like really irritate me. Because, yes, I wanted to be a bunny boy. Now, they could just be waiting for Tokyo. Like, honest to God, it could just not be done yet. As maybe. It sounds like there's a lot of things for the next expansion that just straight up aren't done. And they're doing it by the seat of their pants. So maybe they're going to wait and show them off in Tokyo. At least I hope that's the idea. Because I have heard rumblings that they may that the male Vieira will actually be, and this is rumor, that the male Vieira will actually be the Ronso from Final Fantasy X. Do you remember Kilmari, the Blue Panther looking guy?
Oh.
Yeah. So that instead of Vieira, you'll play the male character will be only Ronsos. But I seem to remember there were female Ronsos. So I don't know. I hope that's not true. I want a boy bunny. ActF says female Vieira is probably more appealing to you. Just because they're boy bunnies doesn't mean they have to be scantily clad. But let us not forget Final Fantasy 14 and on back to 11 is kind of infamous for its equal opportunity hoe armor. Is that if you want to be a female and dress like a hoe, you have that opportunity just like you do in every other MMO. But guess what?
What was it? The Subligar?
Yeah. If you want to be a male and dress like a hoe, just ask Shane to share screenshots of his characters because they're all hoes. You can do that in Final Fantasy 14. You can absolutely do it. Anyhow.
Did the Subligars make it over to 14 as well?
They have a version of it, yeah. But they also have, like, they did, like, bathing suits at one point, and they're just based, like, they're somehow smaller than Speedos. Like, it's like you're running around in, like, not even like tidy whities, but like a thong or something. Not a lot to
are
the imagination.
The armor,
but of course they all look like Ken dolls.
Are the armor buffs good on that kind of stuff, or is it just like?
Well, here's the thing, because glamour, you're asking a lot of questions, Logie, because glamour is a thing. You can have like iron boots of plus 40 or whatever, and you glamour them into thong. And that's fine. You would get the stats of your iron thing.
Iron thong.
But it looks like iron thong. All right. Anyway. That's a little bit on. Oh, actually, there's one other thing on 14 I wanted to say. It's actually not specifically 14. But again, a question that was asked to Naoki Yoshida at the fan fest that now people are kind of running with, even though it's not directly about 14. Because, you know, Yoshida, I imagine he's a pretty popular guy within Square Enix because he did take this game that was a disaster and has reinvented it into something that's very much playable and a success. So there's been a lot of rumors that Yoshida may be tasked with the next Final Fantasy game. So, and that's a big maybe, and I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I would think what he's doing on Final Fantasy 14 is enough of an undertaking because he's director and producer. But anyhow, he got asked about Final Fantasy 16. So obviously they had to ask in a very roundabout way. Well, first they asked him, is Nobu Uematsu going to do the theme for Shadowbringers? And he said, I don't have any info on that yet. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say, I'm not trying to be, but, you know, his health. You remember Nobu Uematsu took a break because of his health. We reported on that some time ago. And so basically Yoshida's saying, we just don't know if he's at a point where he can do that. And he's also in demand for the Final Fantasy VII remake. So it's really one of those things of, if he can do it, great. But if not, it may not happen. And please respect that his health has been an issue for some time. But then the other question he got asked about. For the future of online in Final Fantasy, as a director, what kind of elements do you think Final Fantasy 16 and Final Fantasy 17 should offer? And Naoki Yoshida was kind of blindsided by the question and then said, first, if you're asking whether the Final Fantasy series will get another MMO soon, I think the chances are unlikely so long as Final Fantasy 14 is doing well. On that note, personally speaking, I'd like to see a Final Fantasy that is straightforward fantasy, one that doesn't have much machinery and with no mecha in it. After all, we're having trouble with the Garlean Empire being too powerful. That's a joke about 14. Okay, that was a bad joke, and he laughed. But a lot of people are kind of looking at what he said and going, let him make it because that's what I want too. I would like to see a Final Fantasy, and me personally speaking, I mean, the mech stuff that they've done in these it has been fine.
I like, you know, small mix. Like, I like what they did with, like, 7 and 6 were kind of like
six,
that nice balance, you know.
Well, I liked, like, aesthetic-wise, I really liked what they did with 9. It was the classic Final Fantasy, but, like, a little bit of that new stuff. And I've said this before on the show. I know I have. I'll say it again. My dream Final Fantasy 16 would just be, like, take something in 15's engine, honestly, so you don't have to take 20 years to make it. Take 15's engine, obviously tweak it a little bit, maybe make the battles a little more traditional or whatever they're going to do, and just use that type of graphical power with a game in the setting that's more like 9 traditional Final Fantasy, a fantasy type setting without all the steampunk and the mech and all that stuff, which fine, there's a time and a place for that, but they've had plenty of Final Fantasy games. I would eat that up. I would love, wouldn't you love to see like a Final Fantasy 15 graphical power, but like an old school Final Fantasy game, which ironically I pretty much just said what the 7 remake is, but the 7 remake was all the mech stuff.
But I like some of the mech stuff. I just like a little bit less of it, you know, like 6 was fine.
Dr. Suyu in chat says, shouldn't they finish 7 Remake first, or rather Final Fantasy 7 Remake's first chapter first? Yes, I guess. And as some people have said before, Final Fantasy 7 Remake is Final Fantasy 16. It's not going to be called that, but the effort they're putting into it, the time they're developing to make it, the way they're going to sell it when it comes out, is going to be on par with what a Final Fantasy 16 would get. And I think once that's finally out, then we'll finally hear about Final Fantasy 16. We'll see. Okay, now we'll move on. Sorry, I had a lot to say about FanFest and tangenty things, but let's move on to some updates on other Square Enix things.
Yes, so as you may remember, Kingdom Hearts 3 just recently came out, and it's done pretty well. The Kingdom Hearts Twitter account posted that over 5 million copies of Kingdom Hearts 3 have been shipped worldwide. So that's a lot of copies potentially sold. That's shipped, not sold. They like to fudge the numbers that way. But, you know, they're out there. They're going to be sold eventually.
I mean, they sold them to retail outlets.
So technically, they've already made their money, you know. So it's fine. So, yeah, doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's really not a bad number considering how long that's been out. And considering it didn't launch during the holiday season, that game will probably continue to deliver. And I bet they cut the price of that game just in time for the holidays down to like $30-$40. And they'll sell a lot more entering the holiday period later this year. And who knows if they really do that Switch version that's always rumored or not. I don't know. You haven't really gotten into Kingdom Hearts 3, huh, Loki?
I haven't played it yet.
Is it something you bought? I can't remember.
I already bought it, yeah. I just haven't played it yet.
Okay.
I was, what was I doing the other day? I was doing something on the PlayStation. I was like, oh, yeah, I have to play Kingdom Hearts. Oh, I was looking, there was, I saw a posting online saying that Earth Defense Force 5 was on sale, but it was only on sale for 20% off here, and I was like, that's a $60 game. Like, I remember when Earth Defense Force 2017 was like a $20 or $30 game brand new, and now they want $60 for that shit, and let's be honest, I mean, it hasn't gotten that much better. It's just, it was the simple series, dude. It was like $20 games. Come on.
All right. Moving on to our next story. And by the way, we're just a little ways away from taking calls. So if you would like to call into OLR and talk about something we have talked about or maybe something we haven't addressed yet, you're going to head on over to our VOG Network Discord channel. Go to vognetwork.com/Discord, and I think that's linked below on our Twitch page, and you can join our Discord server, and you're going to want to wait in the Green Room channel and tell us a little bit about in the Orange Lounge Radio channel what you want to talk about tonight, and we will get to calls in a little bit. But for now, let's talk about this rumor. So Shane really wanted me to talk about this for some reason. It's still a rumor, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, apparently there's a Nintendo Direct that's coming next week, and it's going to have news on the Metroid Prime trilogy for Switch, which we've already heard rumors about, which would make a lot of sense considering Metroid Prime 4. We all know what happened there. A couple weeks ago, they had to say, we are starting over, basically, with that whole thing, right? So a Metroid Prime trilogy kind of holdover makes a lot of sense, right? But then the other big thing, and I don't know where this rumor's coming from, but Super Mario Maker 2.
It's coming from FanWank is where it's coming from.
Well, I guess it is Reset Era forums, which that's what happened to NeoGAF, right? It became Reset, or all the people.
No, NeoGAF is NeoGAF.
It's so complicated. Y'all are dramatic. Anyway, so there's a user over there, King Zell, who I guess has been reliable before. So it's one of those, well, he was right before, so he's probably right now. So he's talking about the Metroid Prime trilogy, or I should say they, because we don't know their gender, a Metroid Prime trilogy on Switch. And then also brought out news about the Super Mario Maker 2. I mean, we keep saying Mario Maker on Switch when? And it would make a lot of sense that Nintendo may take an approach that's worked very well for them with Smash Brothers, where it's like, it's not a remaster for Switch. I mean, we kind of did use a lot of the stuff we had on Wii U, but we did a real deep dive into this and rebalanced and redid things. Like, we really, you know, went into this and made a new game out of it. And to be fair, I think Splatoon 2 is in a very similar type of boat. I mean, we kind of took what worked with the first game and kind of added more to it and made Splatoon 2. So, I mean, a Mario Maker 2 in that regard, it does make a lot of sense, right, Loki? Yeah. Would you be all about a Mario Maker 2? What do you think? What do you think would justify a 2 in Mario Maker 2? Because I have an idea.
They would just have to. It would just be more game types, I think. So you'd have like stuff from Super Mario Brothers 2 in there.
I don't think so. But go ahead.
I would like to see like other games, you know, like a Nintendo Maker almost instead of just Mario Maker. Like, you know, Metroid, Zelda.
Okay, I like that. So other types of games, not just necessarily Mario platformers.
Yeah.
Super Mario Maker, but they use that brand and that name people know, but they expand it in other types of games.
Yeah.
That's a very lofty goal, but I like that idea. I would think maybe one thing they'd put into it is that it's going to have more of a focus on competitive. That, like, you would be able to play a level at the same time with your friend, Nintendo Online, and another. I know, I'm saying they gotta try to make that more appealing somehow, and that you would race with friends online, and they would be like little shadows. I swear there was a Game Boy version of the game that did this exact thing, where like you would use the link cable. I think it was the remake of one on game. Maybe chat knows what I'm talking about, but like you'd use the link cable, and you would see the shadow of the other person playing while you're playing, and you didn't like collide or run into each other or anything, but it's like you were doing competitive speed runs. And I could see that being a thing in like a sequel. Maybe and why limit it to two people? Maybe you could have four people all playing at once. And we know that part of the fun of Mario is all the different costume Marios with the amiibo. So maybe everybody could be a different Mario sprite. I don't know. Could be interesting. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, total fan wank from Loki. Mario Maker Battle Royale. I like that. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, Super Mario Deluxe had you race against a Boo. Yeah, okay. I thought that was a thing. I remember that. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, well, Splatoon 2 did have a lot of the old maps revived. Mm-hmm. And Shane is pointing out the Mario Maker 2 rumor isn't for this Direct. I only wanted you to talk about it because everybody loves Directs. Well, it'll mean more when we get a confirmation on it. I mean, that would be cool if it is true. I guess other things that are rumored there could talk about is that we had that Super Nintendo data mine file in the Nintendo Online thing. So this might be a great time to tell us what that means and maybe outline some of the other Switch online titles for the rest of the year, if not up to the summer in E3. So we'll see. What do you think? Do you think it's plausible that there could be a Nintendo Direct this week?
I guess. It's just as plausible as it could be one another week.
So we'll see. Bobby Blackwell says, I'd rather just wait for the Direct to happen before spending time talking about it. Well, isn't it great that you have your own show where you can pick and choose what you want to talk about? But yeah. Sometimes, especially at the end of the show, sometimes rumors are fun to get into because, and here's my perspective on it. If some of these rumors gain so much traction, and these Nintendo Direct ones especially, because like on Twitter, people will take the ball and run with it with these like Direct things. And sometimes like I just want to say, y'all, stop putting the cart before the horse. Just because you read the tea leaves one way in 2017 doesn't mean you'll be able to read it the same way in 2019 and so forth. So sometimes I want to bring up rumors just to squash them. But, I mean, sure, it's been a hot minute since we've had a Nintendo Direct. And I think a Metroid Prime trilogy, I mean, heck, we kind of already guessed that that might be a bridge when this happened with 4. But as far as, like, Mario Maker 2 coming out of a random Direct in February, I doubt it. But I think maybe outlining, especially since we know that Nintendo has more pressure on Switch Online, I think outlining maybe what the calendar looks like a little further out, that makes sense. Spotlighting more indie stuff, because there's a ton of it on the marketplace, makes a lot of sense as well. So, anyway. Moving on. Let's go to a couple more stories. Loki, one about one of your favorite series, right?
Yes, Grand Theft Auto Online. So, of course, you know, one thing with Grand Theft Auto and Grand Theft Auto Online is there's been a lot of cheating. And so, of course, you know, Rockstar Games has been trying to crack down on that. So, apparently, there was a guy by the name of Johnny Perez who was a creator of an online cheat program called Elusive. And he's been found guilty by default from the district
court. Guilty by default.
District Court of New York, because, you know, that means he didn't show up to court.
Uh-oh.
So, apparently, what the program Elusive did is it allowed you to basically generate unlimited currency in the game, because everything in the game is expensive because they want you to grind for it or buy those shark cards and spend real world money on the game, and that's how they make a ton of extra money on it. So of course they Take-Two had contacted this Johnny Perez apparently last year and ordered him to cease the sale of Elusive and the distribution of the software because he was selling it to people to actually use, and he apparently complied with the request, but also when they tried to contact him again, you know, he basically just didn't respond to them. So with that, of course, they went to court, and then damages were awarded to Take-Two, so they've been awarded $150,000 in damages, and also he is supposed to pay $70,000 in legal fees. So that's a lot of money for cheating in an online game.
So the chat room on Twitch is giving me shit because if you look at the storyboard, look what happened. I was typing so fast. It says Grand Theft Auto Online
Cheat-tray.
And so now they're making French jokes in the chat because apparently I typed too fast and I got my E in my arm. For those listening on the podcast, the little thing says Grand Theft Auto is supposed to say cheater owes money, but because I type so fast, because you all have never made a typo in your entire life, I accidentally put cheat-tray. Whatever. You know what? Fine, I'll scroll it off the screen then, and we'll get to the next story. And no, I didn't make up that. That's the actual name of a game. Ni No Kuni. Bobby Blackwell's favorite game. Oh, man. That was like his game of the year that came out. Ni No Kuni.
Did he even play it? Because I don't think he passed the demo.
No, because he couldn't get past the demo. And to be fair, it did have a shit demo. But anyway, the game itself, I liked.
So you're going to go see the movie, can't get past the trailer?
You're not going to let me read the fucking story before you start making jokes, Loki.
No, I'm not.
But yes, Ni No Kuni, they are going to be making a movie about it. Warner Brothers Japan is teaming up with Level 5, who made the Ni No Kuni games. They're going to be doing an anime film adaptation, so it's not a live-action film, but it's going to be anime-based. The character designs, of course, by Yoshiyuki Momose, and the score by Joe Hisahashi. It's going to be a summer 2019 release, apparently, so that's going to be pretty soon. Level 5 did a press conference recently where they announced that their CEO would be working as executive producer and scriptwriter for this film. Of course, you should know this series because Studio Ghibli had a huge influence on this series. It was actually a partnership with them, and that's what made this game very interesting to some people. And I like the game. I mean, it had its faults, and then the sequel was pretty decent too. Again, they all had their faults, but it was a good RPG, and I think people really enjoyed it. So, needless to say, I really enjoy Studio Ghibli's work. So, as far as like, here's the ironic thing. Because a lot of video game movie adaptations become trash, this has the formula to be a pretty good one, Bobby. Because Studio Ghibli kind of, like, they don't really make bad films. You know what I mean? I'm sure somebody's in the chat going, but what about that? Okay, maybe one or two. But, like, for the most part, they make really good movies. So I'd be curious. I'd be into it. Why not? Of course, I wonder if we're going to get a release of it here in the U.S. Probably not, but you never know.
Yeah.
Sometimes some of the Miyazaki movies have come over.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. So, all right. We're going to get into the part of the show where we take calls on our Discord. VogNetwork.com/Discord if you want to get into our Discord. And you just got to join that Green Room channel, and we'll be pulling you into our room to talk about stuff on air with us. If we have enough time, we'll try to get to everybody. I wanted to ask Loki, though, last-minute stories, anything else we didn't quite get around to talking about tonight?
Yes, there is a Sony Interactive Entertainment patent regarding a new motion controller for, I'm assuming, the PlayStation VR. Apparently, the patent, they filed that originally in 2017, but it was published just a couple days ago. And it looks like... Yeah, it looks like almost like the, I don't know, like an upgraded Move controller. Blockier as fuck, though. That's what I gotta say. It looks like it has like an L2 R2 button that can be depressed on the back of it, and they have like a thumbstick there and some more face buttons. Interesting. Anything's better than what we have now with that thing. Although this doesn't necessarily look like the Move controller with the fact that it doesn't have the giant, you know, ice cream ball at the end, but it's I forget the second one that they had, not the Move controller, but there was the Nav controller, I think it was called.
Well, they also probably don't need the giant, like on the PlayStation 3, it was probably one thing because the camera was one resolution. But if you think about it, the PlayStation 4 camera can pick up the much smaller lights on the back of your controllers and know where you're at with those lights. Yeah. So there could still be a light that's just a lot smaller.
Probably, yeah.
Who knows? So,
I don't know. It looks neat, I guess. But I just need something better than what they have.
All right. So we have one caller waiting to go in our green room. Let's get to it, and then I'll come back and see if you have any other stories you want to talk about tonight. But hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Metal Mayhem. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, pretty good. I was going to ask three interrelated questions, but I'll narrow it down to one for time reasons.
That's probably best. What's on your mind?
You know how I think I was last week I had given the quick anecdote about going to Showbiz Pizza place as a kid and loving it?
Yeah.
As a result of that place, I will forever associate food with video games, specifically pizza.
Do you mean like all pizza or like shitty cardboard, gross, disgusting pizza, yeah, which is what they served at places like Chuck E. Cheese, if you remember? Yeah. But who gives a fuck? It's pizza.
Yeah, well, I don't remember how good or bad the pizza was. The only thing I remember is they sold pizza there.
As a kid, there is no bad pizza. You would eat those pizzas that they'd make at your school, which were disgusting. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to derail you, Metal Mayhem. Yeah. What's your question?
Yeah. Yeah, well, also bear in mind, you know, we're talking about close to 35-year-old memories. So, but anyway, that's besides the point. Now, going with that theme, now, do you associate any specific foods with video games, and why?
Our two favorite topics, yet this question has never come up.
Games?
Food and video games. Our two very favorite topics mashed in the blender. Will it blend into one question? Is there a food that you associate with a video game?
Well, I mean, I guess there's, I would say, Parmesan. Like the cheese sticks.
And fucker stole my answer.
And Dance Dance Revolution
stole my answer. Sorry. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's just funny that we're on the same wavelength like that. Yeah, absolutely. Mozzarella sticks from Brookfield.
Yeah,
and Dance Dance Revolution because, for one, those were some good mozzarella sticks. Like they don't pay me to endorse, and they're a local chain anyway, so you have to be here. But and I don't even know they could have changed the recipe in the last 10 years. I wouldn't know. I haven't ordered those in years. But remember how Orange Lounge Radio started? Is that we used to meet up at Golfland and we would play DDR and Alpine Racer 2, as you heard earlier in the show, Soul Calibur 2 and other stuff they had at the arcade. And then when we were done, we'd go to the diner that was like across the parking lot and just kind of sit at a giant table and talk about games and the games that we loved, which included music games, but other types of games too. And I think we had that response because I was younger then, earlier in my 20s, as were you. And so it was like mozzarella sticks because we don't get fat at this age.
Well, also, we're like playing DDR for like 5 hours a day.
True,
you know?
True.
So it's like,
is that too?
You know, that did contribute a lot to it. That. And then that same thing, like McDonald's and Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto, because we used to get McDonald's.
Because both are basic.
Play our games during lunch and stuff, but I don't know, that's about it.
Bobby Blackwell says, you'll love this. I associate Cheez-It Grooves with Final Fantasy 14 because that's what I was eating a lot of times when I was playing Final Fantasy 14 with you guys. That's cute. I like that answer too. Yeah, like a snack food, but I don't know. There's so many I'm trying to think. I don't think there's a snack food I only ate for a limited time. It's like I could sit here and go, sour cream and onion Pringles I associate with literally anything because those are like really fucking good chips. So that's like I eat a lot of those when I play video games.
Roast beef and Orion 78.
Oh, now you're getting into these are jokes that people are not going to understand in 2019. A very, very small subset of gamers will get those jokes. But yes. Anyway, well, was there anything for you, Metal Mayhem, besides the pizza?
No, that's pretty much it. Here in Buffalo, we also associate wings with pizza. So by virtue of, pizza being the intermediary, I also associate wings with video games in general, so, but
fair enough. You know, another thing I would associate, actually, now that I think about it, I would associate with DDR in the arcade is I would associate Slurpees because they sold Slurpees there, Icy's,
yeah,
it was Icy, whatever, same
Icy's
thing.
Are just awesome.
So I associate Icy's with that hideous snack bar nacho flavor. And in the later years, remember this? They put a full-on Subway in there.
Yeah, now it's some other sandwich.
Oh, it's not
thing.
Even Subway
it's
anymore.
It's not Subway anymore. It's
interesting.
Something else.
You know, this is going to sound completely. Is it Porta Subs? Because we finally got one in the Sac.
No,
area.
It's not Porta Subs. It's like their.
Did you
own
know there's
thing.
One in Sac now?
What's a Porta Sub?
It's a sub. I'm giving free advertising. It's a Subway. It's a sub sandwich chain that used to be here that I really liked as a kid growing up, and then it like went away. And it's only been in Nevada. It's been up in Reno, but they finally built another one here.
Oh, they have like now. I've been seeing.
It replaced a Subway. That's why
they have like Jersey Mike's, and they have a sourdough and company. Too.
Firehouse is really growing too. That used to be the type of thing I could only get at Dragon Con, and now they're everywhere.
Yeah,
here.
Firehouse. Yeah, we've got one of those nearby. Well, I've brought that to the show a few times. It's a little too much though. It's like too heavy. If you're trying to go on the Subway diet, that's a little bit more than feasible than the Firehouse Subs diet, where you get like a giant thing of like pulled pork on your sandwich or something like that.
All right, congratulations, you got a food tangent on OLR. Good job. All right. Thank you, Metal Mayhem, for the call. Appreciate it. Take care, okay?
All right. Have a good one.
You too. All right. There's nobody else in our green room right now, so if you do want to call into the show, you can over at vognetwork.com/discord in the green room. Questbuster is in our chat room saying, Dragon's Lair and spaghetti. Another arcade near us had an old cabinet of Dragon's Lair, and next door was a pasta place.
Well, there's a lot of like pizza and arcade games. I mean, because like we used to go to pizza.
I associate those round table garlic sticks with Orange Lounge Radio because you bring them here all the time.
Yeah, well, like even like round table like arcade games, like we used to go to arcades all the time that were at pizza places, and so like there was Rico's Pizza with their 2 foot long party pizzas, and that's per slice too, by the way. And then like, well, round table, we used to go to round table and Chuck E. Cheese, all of those had pizza. So pizza and arcade games.
Frozen yogurt and Miss Pac-Man, because there used to be a yogurt place that my mom would take me to because it was right next door to Mervyn's, her favorite store. So I'm dating this whole thing. But there was a little yogurt place next to Mervyn's, and they were the only place that I saw that had a cocktail cabinet with Miss Pac-Man, actually, was in the cocktail cabinet. So I associate Miss Pac-Man with frozen yogurt because that would be the time I could play the cocktail, which those cocktail cabinets are awesome. Like, I don't know if, I think they're kind of a relic of the 80s. I don't think you really see them anymore, but it used to be like basically like a stand up arcade table, but in a table.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really awesome. So I kind of miss those. So anyway. All right. Let's see. I was seeing ActDev says, holy fuck, Mervyn's. That's a name I haven't heard in a while. Yeah, I know. They went under many years ago, but that was like the place to go shopping if you were my mother growing up. So. Anyhow, any other last-minute stories? Because we don't really have – oh, I think somebody else just joined the green room. But I'll take one more story if you got a last-minute story.
Let's see. I'll have to dig something up real quick here. How about there was a German techno DJ who was releasing an album on Sega Mega Drive cart.
I heard about this. Yeah.
Remute, it looks like. So, yeah, DJ Remute from Hamburg. He's releasing his Techno Optimistic LP on an actual cartridge that will play in an actual Mega Drive. So that's pretty cool. A custom-built flash chip with 4 megabytes only. And says contains a custom music player programmed, they said, by some coders from the demo scene. Neat.
That's an inventive way to release your album. That's it for is. Sure. That's I like cool. that. That's pretty cool. All right. We'll take one more call here, and then that'll probably be it because I don't see anybody else in the green room. But hello, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's the one and only Ron. How is everybody doing tonight?
Fantastic. It's great to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
I have a bit of a gaming dilemma. I haven't yet posted this to get outside suggestions, but I want to run by you and Loki and see what should be the best thing I should do about this.
All right, let's fire away. Let's try it.
All right, so I have a PS3 Fat. Great little device. Love it. Main reason why I got a Fat, backwards compatibility for the PS2. So far, I've had it repaired twice for the same old reason, yellow light. This time, when I got it back, they cranked up the fans, so I'm like, okay, fine, that's cool. But when I play my PS3, it sounds like a jet engine, so I'm like, I can't sit here and play this unless it's during the summer when the air conditioner is running and my mind thinks it's the AC and not the PS3.
That's now, weird. They clean the fans and it sounds worse?
No, they probably what they did is they took the fan control off and they just wired it straight to the 12-volt or 7-volt or whatever it's running, so it's always at max speed.
Got it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. So I thought about, you know, maybe if I get lucky, I'll come across another PS3 Fat, do a data transfer and retire this one. But given with Square Enix and other companies porting some PS3 games over to Xbox, and we're seeing some PS4 versions of PS3 games, I have been wondering, should I just figure out which PS3 games that are available on PS4 and Xbox and just retire this Fat for a Slim, or should I just drop another $80 on getting it repaired or getting lucky to get another Fat?
Okay, so I'm going to take the Marie Kondo approach and ask, does it spark joy? I'm being serious here because, you know, a lot of times I think we kind of hold on to old consoles to say, I still have this old console that plays old games. But you have to really, and this is even something I'm finding myself challenged with. Like, I'm still hanging on to a Dreamcast, and I love the Dreamcast. And Dreamcast has a great library of games, but how often am I really playing that Dreamcast? I'm really not.
It's funny you bring that up because if, I don't know if you've seen it, but I have like a little shelf here of all of my gaming consoles. And I realize as I'm going through old cables, I find my Dreamcast controller and cables. I'm like, my Dreamcast is in the storage closet. I should take it out, put it on display, and have it. I said this about 2 weeks ago.
But to be fair, a big reason why I don't really play the Dreamcast is that a lot of the big games that I had on Dreamcast that I enjoyed, they're available on PC now, like Space Channel 5, probably the best example. Rez, available on other platforms.
Yeah, I have the Space Channel for PS2, but there is one game on Dreamcast that's only available on Dreamcast. That's Project Justice. So I'm like, I'm not getting rid of the Dreamcast for that one reason. I mean,
sure, and Power Sonic Stone would be another good reason. But anyway, But anyway, I mean, all that stuff aside, I think the first question you should ask is, how much am I really using this PS3? And if the answer is you are still using it quite frequently, I would think like secondhand at a flea market or thrift store or something, you ought to be able to find a replacement. And that would probably be the route I would go. But you said it was the kind that had PS2 backwards compatibility, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How often are you using it?
Not often, because I've actually retired my PS2. It's in the storage closet, and I'm thinking if I go through my PlayStation 3 games to see what plays where, I have no problems taking the PS2 out, hooking it up, getting a PS3 Slim, because what got me thinking about this is when Square Enix said Final Fantasy 13 is available for Xbox One, and I'm sitting there looking at Amazon. All three of those games I could buy new and used for under $15. Meanwhile, I have the three games on PS3. I've been sitting here like, should I just trade these in and just get the Xbox ones and just install it on my, you know?
I kind of feel like that might be the right route to go, is to just replace the PlayStation 3 with a new one. And then, you know, you can unretire your PlayStation 2 and use that for your PlayStation 2 games. But, I mean, if you want, this is going to be a very tinfoil hat approach. But we did talk on the show last week about a heavy rumor. But, you know how we all feel about rumors. But that PlayStation 5 might have more backwards compatibility and that whole thing. And we had a very animated discussion in Discord on backwards compatibility and that whole thing when it comes to Sony. And I think at the end of the day, we don't really know, because Sony hasn't really established a standard. It's changed from system to system. So we don't know what's going to happen with PlayStation 5. But you could risk it.
You know what? I might, but to touch on that, I'm sitting here going, to me, there's no reason why Sony can't do it because Microsoft did it. I mean, they're going through the backwards compatibility. Yes, I still have a 360 for a bunch of games I still play. But...
Uh-oh. Did we lose you?
Yep.
I think we did. Rama, come in, Rama. Is he still? He's still connected in our Discord room. But let's try to finish, and then maybe he'll kind of join. So I think he was kind of talking about that he still, you know, a lot of the Xbox 360 kind of ended up on the backwards compatibility, and so he probably uses his Xbox One to play a lot of those former Xbox games and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I don't know. My fat's still in the garage.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it works yet or if it still works. I have a 20, though, so that kind of sucks because it doesn't have Wi-Fi built into it, but eh. Whatever.
He just popped back in the green room. Let me try to pull him back in and see maybe if he wanted to finish his thought. Are you back, Rama?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. Lately, my Wi-Fi here has been kind of odd with the router, so it's like I might have to call and get that replaced. So I apologize for cutting off.
That's okay, but let's finish your thought, and then we'll try to wrap up here. Because you were talking about the Xbox, and you were using your Xbox.
I'm just saying... If we have backwards compatibility on the Xbox, the hardware is there, so Microsoft can do it. We don't know how customizable the chip is in the PS3, so that could be way Sony's like, we don't know how to properly emulate, which I get that. But with PS5, with the hardware that they're coming out with, which is basically off-the-shelf parts, to me, from a technological hardware point, there's no reason why they can't do it.
That ultimately it's going to be up to Sony, because, yeah. You know, maybe they want you to buy them again and it's all going to be digital and streaming only. Maybe they don't want to have native backwards compatibility on it. I mean, who knows? We could come up with a million different solutions, but as far as your immediate problem goes, I would say, you know what? Look at how many hours you're really spending a day playing the PlayStation 3 and the associated games. And if you are still playing it a significant amount, then I would say just replace it. It's not going to be that expensive to replace it secondhand, and I would go that route.
No. I mean, there's a couple of secondhand shops I can check out, but, you know, if I can just, like, look at my options and see what goes where, I'm good because, I mean, I have the Kingdom Hearts Collector's Edition for PS3, and now I have it for PS4, so I'm blessed for that. The Final Fantasy 10-10-2, I can get that for PS4. I'm just like, well, hey.
Yeah, you just have to ask yourself, how many hours am I really going to use it, and is it worth it? And only really you know the answer to that. That's as far as we can help you.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to go that route, but it's the same way as when I upgraded my PC hardware. I just wanted to... have somebody on the outside come in and take a look at it from another point of view. So,
sure.
And all I right. appreciate that.
You are welcome. Anime Jam Sessions, Tuesday nights, hosted here at VOG Network. And if you aren't already following the Anime Jam Session channel here on Twitch, y'all should do that right away. Thank you so much, Rama. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Love it. Take care, you guys.
Take care, buddy. Bye. All right. And I think Katsu-Con is coming up real soon. I think he said this weekend. So probably this coming weekend, President's Day weekend. So I'm sure they'll have a lot to say on that over on Anime Jam Session. Actually, Rama got me to go to that one year. I had a good time. I'd love to go again if I had the travel budget for it. But, you know, only so much time off available and mm-hmm. so much money and so forth. But Alan starts a new job tomorrow. That's really exciting. I'm very happy about
cool.
that. Yeah, I know he is really happy about that, too. And we are happy to be at the end of another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. That's going to do it for our calls tonight. Sorry to anyone that didn't get through, but I didn't see anybody else in there. I know we've had a lot of the same callers week after week, but it's open to everybody. You know, we are, we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but you got to put your voices out there if you want to be heard. So be it in our chat room. Not everybody. I know some people get shy. I get it. They don't want to have their voice. That's cool. You know, you can always lend us a thought in our chat room live. Or if you aren't able to be here Sunday nights live with us because of other commitments, we certainly do appreciate emails and tweets. I don't always read the tweets on air. I just kind of forget, honestly. But I do reply. Like, if you guys ask questions that, like, necessitate a reply, I always try to go in and reply. If you just say, like, thanks, love the show, I'll usually favorite it as like a, I read it, thank you type of thing. So yeah. And I do appreciate that stuff. So so I guess that really brings us to the end of another show. As I always say, thank you for supporting Orange Lounge Radio. You can continue to support the show by leaving us a nice 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is that you found this podcast. Really appreciate that. As far as Twitch goes, you know, we really appreciate the subscriptions and the biddies. I saw some biddies come in tonight, so thank you guys so much for all of that. And that always goes a long way as well. And again, if you can just tell your friends to subscribe, the little hosts, a lot of you guys are hosting us on Sunday nights. And that is awesome. That really helps as well. And all of that goes a long way. And we are looking at more ideas on how to grow out VOG Network on Twitch, not just through, you know, us here at OLR and Mr. Bobby Blackwolf, but through our other content providers that have historically been a part of the Voice Geeks Network, and really excited to hopefully have some more stuff in the future. Anyway, for now, it's time to wrap up. So final thoughts time. Loki, any final thoughts for you tonight?
I'm going to try to do more streaming because I know I'm just about to affiliate. I've got the followers now, but I need to get the hours, day streaming, and number of people chatting at one time up. So
I've been really bad about the streaming lately, honestly. I've been so focused on this that I just haven't really had the time to do other stuff. But I do really want to get back into that habit. That's the problem, is I'm falling out of the habit. If you don't make it a habit, then you don't do it as much.
Yeah, so I need to do that. And I also need to be playing DDR more. And I do want to stream other things. I just have to figure out the setup with not disturbing the rest of my family when I do it and stuff. So, although I didn't think it was too crazy last time when I was streaming by myself. So, we'll see. Because I do want to do more Skyrim stuff because that was pretty fun.
And my final thought is I hope to do more VR gaming this week because I still have – I bought a new one based off a Twitter recommendation I haven't been able to touch this week. And then from watching your stream, I was like, oh, yeah, I still need to play Skyrim VR.
Yeah, so, I still need to play Skyrim VR.
Oh, well, then let's do that this week.
I have that
too.
So we
can talk about a 7-year-old game again next week. That'll be a lot of fun. But that's the way we game sometimes. Anyway, that's going to do it for another episode here of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys again so much for either watching live or downloading and listening on the podcast feed. We appreciate you guys so much, and we'll be back to do it again in 7 days on a 3-day weekend nonetheless. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll see you next time, guys. Have a good night, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.